Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Chicks dig me because I rarely wear underwear. When I do, it's usually something unusual.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
I think that we owe a big round of applause to our newest, bestest buddy in Big Toe.
Paul Perillo.
You might have noticed that I've got a slight weight problem.
No.
Yeah, I do.
No.
Yeah, I do. I went to this doctor. He told me I swallowed a lot of aggression along with a lot of pizzas. Pizzas.
And Andy. And Andy?
Are you, homosexual?
You mean like flaming or...
Andy Hart.
No, we're not homosexual, but we are willing to learn.
Yeah, would they send us someplace special?
Eric Scalavino. For now, anyway.
My hobbies are fast cars and fast women. Because that's why my guys in my car club call me the Cruiser.
You should call them the Dork.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Okay, I know you're anxious to jump right in and start speaking English. So how many of you would say you speak English fairly well, but with some difficulty? Yes, you speak some English.
Son of a bitch.
Son of a bitch.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. We're all here. It's Tuesday at Gillette Stadium. My day sucks. I'll tell you about that in a minute. But I think I can only be here till 1 o'clock today, just so everyone knows. Say that right off the bat. Set expectations.
Hi.
In case people want to tune off at 1.
Or tune back in.
So anyway... So what's up, guys? Wilfork got tagged yesterday.
A lot of stuff going on.
A lot of stuff.
A lot of stuff going on. A
lot of culture.
A lot of what?
A lot of culture. I
mean, Randy Moss must be pissing you off.
Oh, well, you know what?
Great catch, homie.
You know what?
What did he catch? 23 touchdowns last year?
You know what that is? You know what that all those statements are? His agent and he have been asking the Patriots for an extension now, and they won't talk to him. So that's why he's coming out with that. You know?
Nor should they.
Do you have a problem
With
that at all? I mean, I didn't think...
You just said, you have a problem, like going to fight it.
With that at all? I did kind of speak in that. You know that guy that speaks one word every 5 seconds?
Who's that?
I don't know.
Well,
just some guy
I just
wanted to
measured.
Fight Fred. I thought that was the line you used in line at Toys R Us. You have a problem?
Really
I certainly would agree 100% with Andy. I don't think the Patriots really should even be... He's about 12th on the list
right now. I
mean,
exactly.
They have a lot of pressing issues with Tom Brady and Vince Wilfork and even Logan Mankins and Gostkowski and guys like that that are restricted, but you're probably looking to get them taken care of. Moss is well down the list on any radar right now. But I didn't necessarily read Moss's comments to be incendiary in any way. I think he was kind of just flatly stating – I think he understands this is probably his last year here.
He even said...
He said, you know, they don't pay, and I know that sounds very harsh, but I think what he meant was, and he said that I signed an extension already, and that was a blessing. I think he said a blessing in disguise.
Blessing in disguise.
I don't think he meant it that way.
That,
I think he meant it was...
The earth on his shoulders.
Just a blessing. But I think his point was I already got paid, and this is a team that doesn't pay that many guys big money contracts. I already got one. I think his point is... I'd be unrealistic to expect another one.
Yeah, and
I think that's why he thinks he's going to be somewhere else next year.
He also said there's no bad blood. There's no animosity
on either
side.
Several times he said there's no bad blood.
Right. So I think he just understands that they're just not going to...
I think the
lightning rod was that they don't pay their
They
players.
Don't pay. There's no question that's not going to play well. That's like those buzzwords
that you
don't use. Had he
left
that
out, I think all the rest of it would have been fine. I don't expect...
It's
you know,
the buzzwords that you don't
here,
use.
Blah, blah. I think there's a chance he's not in the league. I mean, if he's expecting to get paid... I'm not sure who's going to pay him.
Right. And so...
Well, there also could be a lockout.
So, you know, I heard those comments. I read those comments, and I was like, probably the same thing the Patriots are saying right now. Like, geez, we got a lot of other things right now to think about, you know.
I was thinking, shut the F up. We can't, Moss, every time you talk, you say something stupid.
We can't really worry about that right now. Randy will come out. He'll play, you know, and that'll be it. But more important in the big news yesterday was Will Fort being franchised, slapped with the franchise tag.
And, Will Fort.
You know, even despite that and him saying beforehand that he wouldn't like it if that happened, the Patriots came out with a statement that said they hope that they continue to negotiate. Bianca or him, I don't know which one it was, came out with a statement hoping that they'll continue to talk. And I think they will. So, you know, we'll see what happens with that.
What did you think of the tone of the tweet?
Tone of the tweet.
As much tone as you can get from
a little,
tweet.
A little sarcastic, maybe. A little.
Because everybody, everything I read, the papers took it as like a positive. Both sides are friendly here. They have these, you know, hopes for long-term deals. But the first part of the tweet says, it's, Eric.
After 6 years of dedicated service.
I thought dedicated service is kind of a interesting phrasing. And then the next thing is,
I do understand this is a business.
Players never understand it's a business when they're happy. I understand this is a business. There's always a little bit of tone
right.
of, this sucks, but it's the business.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't think it was like a shot across the bow, but I also didn't think it was quite as flowery and happy as everybody else made it out to be.
Definitely isn't, and I'm sure when they decided to do this, the conversation was from the Patriots, look, we'll still talk, and from the Wilford camp, it was more like, yeah, we'll see.
Right.
You know, and they both agreed to come out with these types of statements, you know, but I'm sure the Wilford camp is more like, I'll believe it when I see it.
Right.
You know,
I also thought it was funny that we all us analysts blew the timing of it. We talked about do it the first day, get it out of the way. Don't give them any false hope. You're not going to. Burt Breer in the Boston Globe said it would, you know, be right at the end. They'll work right up until the end. And if they can't reach something, it was basically dead smack in the middle. And we were all wrong.
Yeah.
I don't know why they did it. You know, if they wanted to get it out of the way before the combine or what. But I thought the timing was a little.
Yeah, that was a good reason that I read. I think who was that? Breer who said that or Reese? You know, the combine does start technically tomorrow. Everybody travels tomorrow, including the two of you, Eric and Andy. You'll be on a flight, prop plane from here to Indy.
Better hope not.
Yeah. Yep.
And so
Andy's favorite type.
Go light on combine.
Andy's favorite type of travel.
I'll be turning around and going home.
So the same thing goes for the coaches and scouts as well, and Floyd Reese, who would, I would assume, be involved in these negotiations. They're all going out there. So
whose iPhone died today? I heard somebody walking around the office looking for a charger for Floyd Reese's iPhone.
Just the idea of Floyd with an iPhone is kind of funny. But anyway.
What's that supposed to mean? Is that a shot at him?
Well, you know, older guys.
You have an iPhone?
Am I older?
Yes.
Yeah.
You and Floyd Reese are the same guy.
Yeah, but I invented the internet.
The internet's.
So it's no funnier that he has an iPhone than you have an iPhone.
He's a little older than
you. Don't be jealous, but
I'd say he's within 10 years,
with
though. No?
All day.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I'm 40.
He's as old as Paul looks.
You're a man.
I think
you're 40.
I think he's within 10 years of you.
Okay.
Isn't Bill?
Yeah, Bill is.
Yeah, Floyd and Bill kind of came in together.
They were in the low-level coaching ranks of the Detroit Lions, picking out T-Birds.
Going back to the 40s,
the Detroit Lions.
So, you know, I hope that the Patriots actually do keep negotiating with Will Fork. I'm not ruling out that something could get done. But I think, you know, I think we have an idea of what the Patriots are offering. I'd love to know what Will Fork's camp is looking for.
Well, that's what the good part for him now is he's able to actually go out and figure that out. I think he can get a more realistic display. And I'm not naive. I know that he's been doing this already. I know that teams tamper and stuff like that. But now he's officially allowed to go out to the other 31 teams and try to negotiate a deal. Even if it's unrealistic that someone's going to offer him a deal, you can find out what you're worth. And maybe that helps the Patriots. Maybe he's not worth as much as he thinks he is or Kenard McGuire thinks he is. I'll leave out the other person who's probably the most important.
Or he finds out, like Deion Branch did, that there's a couple teams out there willing to break the bank.
Right. And then you come back to the Patriots.
Difference being the trade part.
Right. Maybe we could work out a trade.
Now, what's the, you know, from the Patriots' perspective, what's the safety net that they have in place or the assurity that they have in place that if Wilford comes back to them and says, Team X is willing to pay me this much, that the Patriots know that that's a real offer, and it's not just Team X trying to balloon the market to make it harder for the Patriots to sign Wilfork to a long-term deal. When they say that, is there anything in writing that has to back that up?
I don't think so.
No, not unless he gets a formal offer sheet,
right.
And I don't think that's going to happen.
So what's to stop teams that are picking up the phone
of Wilfork's agent saying,
yeah, we'll give you the world.
But that's how every free agent negotiation is. I mean,
it wouldn't be the Patriots, because, listen, I don't think the Patriots are going to go much higher than they are. So I think they're going to go to what they believe is the proper place and the proper value. Where it helps, though, for Wilfork is on the other side. He knows if it's real or if it's just someone saying, oh, yeah, you're a $35 million guy. Well, you're a $40 million guy. You're just a tick below Haynesworth. He knows if that's real or not.
Right.
The Patriots may not know if that's real.
Right. So
and they don't.
So,
but they're not gonna go up anyway. That's part of the Patriots' job. They need to assess the market, and they need to establish a value for their own players. They're gonna go with on their system anyway. Where it's going to affect is Wilfork's ability to sign the $23 million guarantee that he already has, thinking to himself, this is about as high as it's going to get. No one's offering me significantly more than that. All things being equal, I'd rather be here in New England. It's going to help Wilfork know if he has more out there in the future. He's not going to get more this year because he's going to get a little over $7 million this year.
Right.
Unless they trade him. And I don't think they're going to trade him. I agree with Andy.
Oh, yeah. I think you're right.
So, you know, if another team makes an offer to Wilfork that Wilfork likes, he goes back to the Patriots. Here's the offer they're giving to me. Patriots are willing to talk to that team about a trade. Then the other team goes, well, now the Patriots are asking too much. You know, we have to, you know, there's a lot of factors that can happen between Wilfork hearing what a team will offer and when something actually happens that will, you know, that will could screw that up.
And what if the Patriots call that team's bluff and say, okay, sign him. Now give us what is due a franchise player.
But see, that's the thing is no one's going to give him an offer sheet because they're not going to give him two first-round picks.
That's what I'm saying. What would have
someone might give him that contract.
Right.
Just not an offer sheet.
What would have to happen is the Wilfork would get an offer, come to the Patriots, X team is willing to make me an offer. Now the Patriots would have to talk to that team about compensation.
For a trade. Yes.
And, you know, what are the Patriots going to be willing to take short of, you know, those two first-round picks? I don't know.
Probably one.
Yeah, but I'm sure it factors into what the team's willing to give up for Wilf. You know, there's a lot of moving parts there.
Yeah. That's why it's a complicated way to go about it. You know, the franchise situation and player movement is so restricted. That's why the players don't like it.
Yeah.
You know, when we talk about this every year, what's so disrespectful about earning $7 million? It really restricts their ability to go out and put themselves truly on the open market. That's all. So, but I do think that Wilfork, I agree with the tenor of, I think what Andy said was right about, I think people got a little bit carried away saying how positive it was yesterday and how, geez, he wasn't upset at all. I don't think he's upset because I don't think he's surprised. I think he knew this was coming. But at the same time, I don't think he's thrilled about it either. Right. I think he wishes he got his contract by now. I want to throw this out there. I wonder what you guys think. Do you think there's anything with the official start of the league here in terms of being able to start the sign the contract now? And maybe there's some technicalities with the situation. I don't know.
I don't know what you're saying.
How so?
Is there anything preventing him from signing the contract now that he'll be able to sign next week? Maybe they have a deal in place in principle, but they can't sign it until after the league year starts for whatever reason. I don't know what that reason would be.
Not as far as I know.
So his cap number wouldn't go up right now to make it? I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there. I'm trying to figure out why everybody was so over-the-top positive, like a deal seems to be imminent now, the way that the papers are writing it. Why wouldn't they have just signed it? Why do they have to franchise him if they couldn't? If they're that confident that it's going to get signed between now and a week from Friday, why put the franchise tag on him at all?
I think they were just reading the statement, the top priority and all that stuff.
I think they read it the same way.
That was the only part that surprised me. The Wilfork part didn't surprise me at all.
I also think it should be wrong.
The Patriots.
Number 12? Hello?
Well, I do think that the Patriots have gotten the reputation of doing zero negotiating in the media. and this isn't necessarily in the media, but it is an official statement they put out with regards to continuing negotiations.
Yeah.
We've gone back and forth with proposals and counterproposals. That's as much negotiating in the media as you'll ever see.
Well, I think that's why
I was fairly surprised.
Yeah,
by that.
That's why I think people took that positive, you know, angle on this thing that, oh, you know, things are still working. I just think it's, you know, they agreed to disagree at this time, but keep on talking. I don't think it's
so it doesn't have anything to do with the start
negative.
Of the league year. You think that's
irrelevant? I don't think so.
I agree with you. I just was throwing it out there.
Yeah, I don't think so. You know, I don't think that, you know, it should be people should read too much into it and be too positive. You know, he could very well play out the season as a franchise tag player, you know.
That's what I'd
again,
like to see.
Again, because I don't know what.
I think that's the most likely.
The most
likely.
Like to but I'd like to dangle him along somehow long enough so I can get him happy for this season, and then we'll see what happens after this
I just
season.
Don't know what they're asking. You know,
you can't call him fat and happy because you never know what's going to happen there.
You know, you don't know if it's the term. You don't know if it's the guarantee, if it's the total package. I just don't know what they're asking and how unreasonable that the Patriots might think that is. You know,
mm-hmm.
So it's tough.
Yeah,
it's
interesting, but it is a good sign that at least initially he didn't fly off the handle.
Well,
and
that's
all contentious.
You know, I think a lot of people expected that.
I don't
to
know
happen.
Why.
Well, he had said, "I'm not going to be happy if they do this."
But he very well might not be.
Right,
he has been nothing but professional throughout this whole thing.
Right, and the first comment that came out of whether it was his or his wife's mouth via Twitter was not. I'm not happy.
Well, also, there's been time.
I think people read too much.
I also didn't think it was I'm ecstatic.
No. Yeah. And he also kind of came back off of those EEI comments from a month ago.
That's what I'm saying.
In between yesterday and when he originally said them.
Yeah.
And kind of went back to the, you know, Joe Workerman, Vince Wilfork,
right.
that he has been.
You know, we were all there at the end of the Baltimore game when he was he wasn't irate, but he was as unhappy as we've ever seen him here, I think.
Yeah,
and his comments certainly reflected that. And then he went on EEI, like you said, Paul.
Well,
and he had toned it down a little bit. But I think as time has gone on, he and his family have gotten, you know, resigned to the fact that this was going to happen. So I think that's why the tone was still there was still a little bit of tone, but it wasn't like it was
after
a month
that
and
Baltimore
a half ago.
Game. I'm sure everybody was unhappy, and that was the wrong time to be talking about it.
Well,
contract.
The EEI appearance was the one where he made all the comments that Andy said about the slap in the face and. The average, that's for an okay player. That's an okay salary. I'm not an okay player. But since those EEI, he has sort of went back to the normal, you know, understanding. I don't think he's happy about this, but I think he's understanding that this is the way it works, and he's trying to make the most of that. I think he still legitimately has hope.
Oh, yeah.
That a deal can be done.
I think he does, too.
Now,
and maybe he does because of the back and forth. Maybe they're close enough where he says, you know what, I could probably even accept that if I had to.
But reading between the lines of their statement, I think they're skeptical.
I'm wondering if he's thinking the Wilfork
side? Wilfork camp.
Yeah. I also don't know whose statement it is.
I think you might be right about that.
I'm not sure if it's Vince's or Bianca's.
Well, she's the spokesperson.
Yeah, but is she the spokesperson or is she the speaker?
Both.
I mean, there's one thing if Vince says, okay, type this. Say, I've worked for a long time and this. Or if she just types and goes, this is what we're sending out. I mean, there's two different.
And that's why when I put that up there yesterday, I said that it was, you know, because I tried to get in touch with him, and that's how they responded through the Twitter account. And I just said that, you know, he decided, along with his wife, on their Twitter account.
Right.
And that's how I wrote it. Because I don't know who actually put that statement out there, if it was Vince or Bianca or
one of the kids.
one of the kids
grabbed a BlackBerry and just
Bernard
started going
McGuire,
at it.
For all I know.
Right.
Do you think the wording in the Patriots release, tying together our two topics we opened the show with, has anything to do with Randy Moss's comments?
No.
They don't pay their players, and they want to say, we don't pay him? Well, we've been negotiating forever on a long-term lucrative deal with Vince Wilfork. He's one of our players.
I don't think so.
I think they would have said that as well, but now they have some.
Paul's right. It's unlike them.
I'm wondering
why is it unlike them? What's changed? Why are they doing this?
And I don't think there's anything before you attack me. It's unlike them. Doesn't mean it's anything
you
wrong.
You got a
with
problem?
It doesn't mean that they did anything wrong. I think that statement was a very positive statement, No issues with it whatsoever. I just think it's a little bit out of the norm for them.
I think they might have realized that, you know, I think the Patriots are always worried about public opinion. And I think people, they realize that Vince Wilfork is a fan favorite. People are, you know, tuned into this situation. They want to know what's going to happen.
Well, that's my point. Earlier, one of your captains said they don't pay.
And I think they...
It's a good point. A day later, they're saying, hey, we're trying to pay.
Yeah, but I think they wanted the fan base to know that they're not just simply making him a franchise. It's just a way to, you know, protect him from walking away.
I also thought it was interesting that the quote was not attributed to any one person.
Right.
It was...
That is interesting. You're right.
You know, it's
normally it does get attributed to somebody. Yeah. You are absolutely right.
There was the quote, and it said the Patriots announced in a statement confirming
that
Wilfork was tagged.
Whose quote is it?
Well,
Bianca?
That's the thing.
she's on both sides.
She's playing both sides?
All right. Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7482. Lunch today is made possible by Paul from London.
And his mom.
Thank you, Paul. And his mom.
Thank you, Paul. He sends in an email.
Thanks,
he says, Andy and Eric, when you go to the combine, could you try and interview some players that I think would fit the Patriots well?
Okay, let me write
them
down.
Like who?
C.J. Spiller.
Okay.
Javid Best.
Yep.
Jonathan Dwyer.
Okay.
Golden Tate.
Yep.
Vlad Dukassi.
With you so far.
And pass rushers Sergio Kindle and Ricky Sapp.
Not a problem. We'll do it.
The only one I never heard of was that Dukassi guy. Who's that?
UMass the UMass guard slash tackle, now a riser. He's like in the middle of the first round.
Is Sapp related to Warren at all?
Oh, I don't know. I probably should.
That's the Haitian kid.
You know what John Tomasi says?
Is that the Haitian kid?
No.
Whatever he wants.
The UMass kid.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he also says, do these players fit better in a 3-4 or 4-3? Vince Wilfork, Ty Warren as a 4-3 defensive tackle, Mayo, Guyton, Burgess, and Tully.
That's a lot.
Mayo. I think they all fit better in a 4-3. Well, except maybe Wilfork.
Mayo and Guyton, surely.
Wilfork
3-4, I think.
Bantakane, was he in there?
Bantakane, I think, is a 3-4 guy.
In general, NFL question, will these teams perform better or worse than they did in 2010?
No, maybe. You might be right.
Who?
Okay, better or worse?
Hey, did you steal this from my blog?
No, it's Paul from London. Broncos.
No, I'm talking to Paul. Oh, teams.
Broncos, better or worse this year?
Worse.
Better.
Worse.
49ers.
Can't be worse. 49ers better.
I don't know. What did they do last year? What was the record?
Bad.
8-8.
Bad worse.
Enough. Steelers.
Better.
Texans.
Same.
I like that.
Did they win 10 games? 9 games?
8-8. No, they were 9-7. Right.
Better.
Yeah. Push.
Titans.
Better.
Same. What'd they do? 7-9? 8-8?
7-9, 8-8, right in that area.
Worse.
I'm gonna say better.
Cowboys.
Worse.
Worser.
Packers.
Worser.
Better.
Better.
Falcons.
Better.
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 Eagles.
Worse.
Worse.
And finally,
even.
Patriots.
Worse.
Better.
Worse.
Well, you think it's over, Eric.
I'll tell you something.
He closed the door on the dynasty.
I'm going to tell you something right now. I'm making plans for January if these two schleps don't even think they're going to win 9 games next year.
Cheers, people. Enjoy your lunch. And Andy, Eric, enjoy your trip to Indy. And make sure you blog about where you eat. Oh, we know they will.
Normally, it's make sure you blog about some players that you see.
Well, they know we're going to do that. They want to make
sense. Oh, do they?
Yes, they do.
Guy writes one blog post in 6
blogs
months, and all of a
sudden,
for the
first time in a decade. First of all, he does all the blogging. You don't.
Oh, come on!
Stop it, will you please?
Did you check the poll that we put
wrong
up?
Wrong poll.
The poll we put up the other day.
No. I know where it was when I left on
Kevin
Friday.
Kevin Falk is still in a dead heat with Baden, but Bantakane falling behind. And Neal and Watson really battling it out with 5% and 4% for the least cared about free agent.
What was your question?
Free agent priorities beyond.
Yes, Eric. Andy and I were able to do a debate Friday without you. Imagine that.
It's Lent. I'm not going to respond to that gratuitous comment.
You can just make a gratuitous comment to me, but you can't respond to gratuitous comments back to you.
That wasn't gratuitous, Paul. That was just good fun.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't mean spirited.
I was mean-spiritedly saying that I couldn't do a debate Friday without him.
Right.
Evidently.
I actually did it pretty quickly. And with Will Perillo chiming
with
in.
With Will.
Yeah.
Did he even get the podcast done pretty quickly,
Daddy Daycare on Friday.
Did he write yours for you?
He came through all right.
Did he?
And by the way, can I just clear up a misconception that evidently Fred fostered last Thursday?
Right.
My son was not jumped in school. I don't know where this came from.
You said someone jumped on his chest.
I told you that he was very sick and had a very high temperature.
Right.
And the day before,
right,
they were playing in a bouncy house, and Will jumped on him by accident. And
so he got jumped at home.
He was complaining about pains in his stomach.
I didn't know that.
So he had 104.9 temperature, as well as complaining about pains in his stomach.
That's
so
bad.
We took him to the emergency room.
Right.
He didn't get jumped at school.
He got jumped
thanks
at home.
Now it's bad. Last Thursday it was a joke, evidently, on the BFW in progress.
No, because the first time you told me about it,
I told you
said somebody
exactly
jumped on his chest or his stomach.
I said Will jumped on him at a bouncy house
Wednesday. I didn't hear the Will part.
That's because generally you hear three words out of every sentence that someone speaks to you.
Because he was already looking for the punchline instead of just saying,
I still think
okay.
It's a very rough place that you're sending him. Hasn't he been getting into a lot
of those bouncy
houses? It wasn't at school.
No, but besides that incident, hasn't there been some scraps?
He had one altercation. He's 1-0 career. Kid slapped him. He punched him in the face.
Okay.
He's 1-0.
It's a tough place.
But he also added, I thought, the line of the podcast.
Yeah, but the girl was bigger than him. Let's be fair.
I asked Will Perillo who his favorite Patriot was, and who did he answer?
Tom Brady.
Then I asked him, who's your second favorite Patriot?
Crickets.
Dead air. That's why you need to re-sign Tom Brady. Right. Children across New England don't know who their second favorite Patriot is. There isn't one. He's the franchise.
How quickly they forget about Wes Welker. Guy has one little knee injury.
As they should.
People forget.
Wow.
I've been a Welker defender, but
Paul just
we're now talking about him
table.
In the same sentence as Tom Brady. I mean, one's the franchise. One isn't. It may never be anything.
I don't know. Tall, skinny bench one?
I was very bummed out to have missed that show last week, by the way.
Bummed out, really?
Bummed out. Matter of fact, I had a chance to do the big show today, Freddie, and I turned it down.
Is that right?
I did.
Do this show?
Yeah, I'm going
to
do it tomorrow instead.
Let's
go. I don't like this show.
You're lying your ass off.
But I didn't know I was going to get to do it tomorrow when I turned it down. I said no, but I'm still open for Wednesday, and he said, I'll see you Wednesday then.
That's great.
So he could have said, I already have someone for Wednesday, and I would have been out.
Awesome.
To which Andy would have said, you're crazy. What are you doing that for?
That's from 2 to 6, show?
Yeah.
What time do you guys land in Indy?
Sometime in the afternoon.
You don't know?
I don't know.
I was thinking you could call into the big show.
Hmm. Why? They didn't ask us to.
They didn't ask us to.
Hey, this is Andy in Indy.
No, but Paul gets there. They say, hey, my guys are on the ground in Indy.
Is there anything that you would have?
There would be
I'll
nothing.
Do that.
There would be nothing.
Besides
other than
Weber grill
in my mouth?
Oh,
but you can tell. Say what you're going to do.
I didn't say I was going to have Pete Weber in my mouth or something.
You promote the blog. You promote the website. You know?
No, go.
Let's do some promotion here.
We're out of here.
You're suddenly worried about promotion after 17 years
Tom
of doing none.
From, speaking of promotion, CSNEs promoted us on his Twitter.
Did you see that when he wrote?
No, I didn't.
What did you say, CSNEs?
CSNNE.
Sounds like one of those CBS shows.
CNSEs.
He sent something out on his Twitter account last night. Twitter, very big the last couple of days.
Yeah.
Said people should line their bird cages with our paper.
He said Patriots fans need to get a hold of the latest issue of Patriots Football Weekly. It's what did he say?
It's a must read or
it's a must read.
It's phenomenal.
Non-Patriots fans may want to line their bird cages with it.
But buy it anyway because we still get the money.
But he said it was a tremendous issue.
Not us.
Great.
I'm paraphrasing. It should be in your email. I heard about it in a web radio.
Oh, here it is.
Yeah.
Let's see. Kyle from Wakefield sent it in. I don't know if you guys saw it, but Tom Curran gave you guys some nice free advertising on Twitter. For Patriots aficionados, the current edition of Patriots Football Weekly is just outstanding. Non-Pats fans can line bird cages with it. Does that mean that we're too homer?
No, he said it was just outstanding.
I know, but what if...
We're Patriots
if
Football
If you're not a
Weekly.
Patriots fan, why would you want... what are you going
to
read it
to get
for?
Some info about the Patriots.
For the uncapped ear primer.
That's good.
That's for any fan. That's not just for Patriots fans.
So did he take a shot at us? Or
no.
No, I think he's saying how good he thought the issue was.
Okay.
I thought it was one of our better season review issues.
I think we're always great.
We do the season review every year in a similar format with the all-opponent team and the free agent stuff. And this year we added the uncapped year, but I thought we were good.
We kicked ass.
For that stuff, for the awards and everything.
Mm-hmm. The reviews coming.
What else? What other news do we have before we get to emails?
Did you hear Lee Bodden's comments?
No.
Apparently, he was saying that first and foremost on his mind right now is trying to get a
at least talks started with the Patriots, and that he has rehired the agent he fired initially when he first came here. I believe
the Patriots.
Is this a news story that I missed?
This was in. I think it was in today's clips.
Yeah, I didn't see that.
The original agent who got the 4-year deal that wasn't agreed to, I think, he ended up firing that guy and hired a new one, and then he ended up signing here for the 1-year deal.
I guess he's re-signed the one-year deal.
I think so.
Oh, remember we were joking that he fired him because he left the transition tag in play, and you're saying that the other guy did that.
I think that might have been the other guy. Because he's rehired the guy he fired. Well,
they only have until Thursday, right, now? So if they're going to do something like that, they have to do it quick.
Oh, yeah.
They do, yeah.
So what are we reading into that?
Nothing.
Well, I mean, a year ago he was saying, you know, I'm going to play out the year, and then if it's good, I'm out of here. And I think he's come to the realization that he had an okay year, and he's willing to come back here.
I think he will jump it. Yeah. I don't know that he'll go anywhere. Like, if St. Louis was the only team offering a lot, I don't know, but... He's going where the money is.
I think there's a
5%
chance.
But he's also been very
chance.
Outspoken about, you know, getting on a team that wins. He's never had that before, and he was looking forward to – the reason he came here was to be on a playoff team.
5% chance that he comes
back. And he had
that
for a play and a half.
Only 5% that he comes back?
Yeah, because I agree with Andy. I think the number one – I think, Fred, what you said is right, but the number one thing he keeps saying is long-term money.
Right. Yeah.
Now, I do agree with Andy. If it's a team, if he only gets like one offer and it's a team like St. Louis.
Or Detroit, which,
you know,
it wouldn't be. But
maybe he wouldn't take that and he would say, I'll play one more year for the Patriots or someone else who's a winning team. But chances are, to me, odds are that some team that's decent, I mean, the Houston Texans,
right.
You know, is a good enough team to me. And there is 25 teams, I think, that are good enough that if they offered him some money, he would go to. And I don't
agree.
Think the Patriots will. Mm-hmm.
Anything else, Eric?
You have a lot of notes over there. Would you like to
This is mostly Moss and Wolfork stuff.
Any of them?
That's pretty much it.
Have you guys been doing the blitz that I asked?
Yes.
Okay,
yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, I had Chris do it yesterday. I don't know how to do it.
Unbelievable.
I don't. Why are you rolling your eyes?
He does nothing, Fred. We might have to
God
talk
forbid
about
you
office.
Learn.
I don't know how to do it.
I know, but
Chris is going to have to do it.
I didn't know how to read until I went to school, but, you know.
Yeah, that's appropriate.
I didn't sit there and say, I don't know
how
to read.
That's a great analogy.
You can learn how to do
that.
Fred sitting in kindergarten. I don't know how to read.
Yeah.
I can speak and shout, but I can't read.
Right.
What a moron.
Paul, did you know Freddie Barnes is not invited to the combine?
Freddie Barnes.
You're going to have to fill him in a little bit here.
Wide receiver, Bowling Green, caught like 180 passes last year.
No,
don't think
how
he knows.
How is leading
really
the country not
film hasn't come
combine.
In yet?
There's like 47 receivers.
Because obviously they feel the same way as I do. It's Bowling Green.
I just think that's wrong. He caught a lot of paths. I mean, give the guy a chance. You're inviting all 329 are much better than him.
What was the reason?
I can't
for
really
not
accurately
inviting?
Get involved in an
they
argument with you on this.
They
one.
Don't give a reason. I mean, they just put.
You're
out
either invited or you're not.
Bowling Green is Division I, right?
Sure.
Yes.
Why Mac. Wouldn't they invite him?
Apparently, they don't think he's. One of the top 43 wide receiver, whatever the
maybe
number
he got his foreman late or something.
They pick
they
you.
They pick you. It's an invite.
Oh, that seems weird. I could see if he's 1AA or something like that and got overlooked.
I agree with Freddie on that. Yeah. If he was a 1AA guy with a great production, I could see them saying, well, he did it at 1AA level.
There's no reason not to bring him in.
I don't understand.
There isn't.
Why
that's why I'm
a guy in the Mac wouldn't get
I'm
invited.
A little surprised.
It's not fair.
Something you
my guys from
into.
Brandon get the invite, buddy.
Maybe you
and
can
Bobby.
Ask a combine official why
they do have
1AA
the president or whatever comes. The guy that
yeah.
runs it. Some guy
receiving.
I'll look into it, Fred. I'll get back to you on that.
Yeah,
Ricky Bobby.
I had another top. Oh, and none of the quarterbacks are throwing. Now
what?
Tebow's not throwing. Bradford's not throwing.
Well,
Clawson's not
Tebow's
throwing.
Now reworking his entire throwing motion. I tell you, he has first round pick written all over him. That's what I'm looking for. Is a guy a month and a half before the draft. He's
right.
going to decide, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to break it all down. I'm going to reconstruct
terrible.
It from scratch.
Do you remember when the year Kerry Collins came out in the draft?
Yes.
And the talk about him was he's got a hitch in his motion.
Mm-hmm.
And he does.
A throwing hitch.
So but that, like
people were, people
still
were,
has it, by the way.
Oh, he still has it, but he's made a pretty nice career for himself.
Because he was a good player.
But like people at the time were saying, oh, he's got to get that hitch fixed or he's not going to make it in this league.
Well, I would say it kept him from being great. He was
but
a
he
good,
still has
solid
and I would
career.
Also, and I don't, listen, I'm not an expert at Kerry Collins, but I would
that
guess.
Drinking.
I would guess that he probably has a less pronounced hitch than he did when he came out of college.
Yeah, probably. But I'm just, you know.
Funny how they put Tebow takes so long to throw the football. I don't think there's any possible way he could succeed in the NFL.
Yeah, he's a different case. But
Sam Weich says there's no doubt in his mind he's an NFL quarterback. If he's not an NFL quarterback, I was in the wrong profession for 27 years or something. He's one of the people, just so you know, he's one of the people working with Tebow. There's like a consortium of 17 experts teaching him how to throw now.
Shouldn't that have been done
before he was ready for the NFL draft?
Like I said, a month and a half before, we're breaking it down and starting it from scratch.
Like, well, if you're Urban Meyer, you don't want those people hanging around until your season's over.
Well, if you're Urban Meyer, you're also saying it
works. You might have addressed this when he was a freshman. Mm.
No, but clearly Urban Meyer wasn't about preparing for the pro level.
Right.
Urban Meyer wanted
to win the college.
Right. About winning.
Right.
Right.
Win the college? You Fred over there?
You got to love strippers.
Interesting stuff.
Strippers has a reply to Tom Curran. He replied Twitter. He says, you should try reading it. You might learn something.
As long as you did not
attribute
that to us.
I don't know who Strippers is.
Thank you, Strippers. I like that shot.
So what else do we have before I get to emails?
We got a lot of emails.
Yeah, might as well get to the emails.
A lot of emails.
Julius Peppers here yet?
Not yet. But
Doesn't look like he's going to get tagged, right?
Can I have a hypothetical question
All
for
I'm
you
reading
guys?
About how bad he is. Every story I read now is how bad he is, and he's not worth the money.
Peppers.
Yeah.
Yeah, the price is going down every day.
Every day.
So get him.
He'll be signing a one-year Lee Bodden deal by the end of the
season. I had someone just about an hour ago tell me that there's no way he gets $5 million a year.
What?
Peppers?
Yeah. No way he gets $5 million a year.
There's no way he gets less than 10, but he's not going to get much more
than
that.
He's not going to get 20.
No, per year.
Per year.
So he's going to sign a five-year.
I think he's going to get more than 10 per year. I don't think he'll get that much per year.
I think he's going to be in that ballpark.
He's going to be around there. Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
Five and 50, six and 60.
I laughed at the five. I think that there's no way he's going to get as little as five. But I have a hypothetical for you guys, and maybe you have the answer for me. I don't. If, indeed, the NFL has a lockout in 2011.
Yes.
2011.
Good, Paul.
011.
Not 011.
0011.
What would the player's status be? Let's just say that they have the lockout. They don't lock them out until, I don't know, the summer. Would the players be under contract from the time the league year starts?
No. If there is a lockout, it will start as soon as the league year starts.
Okay, but what if it doesn't?
But his question is.
What if there's no lockout?
But there's no resolution.
No, forget about this is hypothetical.
I know, but my read on it is if there's no resolution by the start of the league, the lockout will start immediately.
He's no fun. It's a hypothetical.
No, I know.
It's never land.
But what's the hypothetical?
My hypothetical is there's no resolution to the CBA. So there's no CBA in place on March 5th, 2011. There's no CBA in place.
Right.
But they don't lock them out officially until I don't know, July.
Right.
What is the player status in the interim? Would the teams theoretically have OTAs?
Yeah. It would be.
Would the players be
usual.
Required to go? Not required, but would the players go? Hmm. Are they really under contract?
Yeah.
There's either a lockout or there's no lockout.
I think for those reasons.
But there's no CBA, so does that make contracts void?
But that's why they're going to lock it out because.
Exactly.
This is like the Steve McNair thing. If he slips and falls in our facility and he's not under the right deal,
I know what's going to happen.
That's why.
So the doors are locked so that nothing bad can happen.
But that's why I'm saying that theoretically, I understand that Fred's right. It's not going to happen. They're going to lock them out immediately, and then they're going to have the draft, and they're going to be locked out in that time. But I'm just wondering if they just. My point is, if the owners, and you're going to lock them out, but you're doing so, and you're thinking, we're going to salvage this season somehow. We're not going to eliminate the whole season.
Do I wait to lock
them out so I get the off season out of them?
Right. What they would do, Paul.
So we're that much closer to be ready to play once we.
Right.
If we do get this result, they would
do is they'd have to have a resolution by the owners to extend the current CBA for that length of time.
Right. Yeah, because I think you'd get players who would say. Well, I don't know if I should be showing up.
I wouldn't show up for OTAs. I don't know how they show up for OTAs now, but
I'd have to show up.
Right.
Yeah. I'd be on some IR list with a lawyer in my pocket saying, you owe me $20 million.
It was just a hypothetical that we were talking about down with the TV crew, the Patriots Today crew with B-Lo and Maddie No Sox and stuff.
So those are the people that don't think he's going to get $5
million? Oh, No Sox doesn't think he's going to get $5
million. I'm not the brightest guy in the world.
Not going to get $5 million. And then he said, well, not 10. I'm like, well, 10 and 5, that's a big difference.
Right.
In
the NFL, you'd go from like the top 20% of salaries or top 30 to top 2% or whatever, over $10 million per. Nobody makes $10 million per, except quarterbacks.
Franchise quarterbacks, yeah.
And Julius Peppers.
You guys watching the Olympics?
Oh,
I got to tell you.
I got to tell you, I'm hooked on the Olympics.
Really?
They've been great. Have you watched it at all?
Yeah, I've watched when I can.
I got to tell you, though, I've been hooked on the Olympics.
Although, it's
been great for the U.S.
is just so ridiculous.
I hate
now.
The skating, but there's been a lot of good stuff that they've shown in prime time.
I mean, the
some
men,
of it hasn't been live, but it's been really, really good.
The men
watch.
Dress more flamboyantly than the women.
Than
Eric. That was great Sunday. I watched it.
Should have been in prime time.
U.S.
Though.
Canada.
It
was
in prime
game.
Time.
It was. It was
it
on
started
MSNBC.
At 7:40.
Yeah, on some channel no one can find.
MSNBC.
Why can't you find
stop
it?
Stop cramming figure
I couldn't
skating.
Find it.
Down.
I don't have a
on
problem
everybody.
I mean, I don't
put
have any interest in
there.
Figure skating. But
I didn't even
much,
know I got MSNBC.
There's a much wider audience that they had that wanted to watch figure skating than they did want to watch.
I'm not
the
so
hockey.
Sure about that.
It's true.
I'm not so sure about that.
In this age of DVR, too, you can record both and watch them.
Not if you don't know what channel it's on.
Well, that's your fault for being ignorant.
That's their fault.
Let me tell you something. If watching hockey could beat American Idol, then the NHL wouldn't have such low ratings.
Now you're confusing two different things. The Olympics are something special to themselves.
I'm just
people
saying,
see a flag
if
and
the
they watch.
The sport of hockey, even
just like
has,
they don't care about figure skating for 4 years until they get
he's
to the Olympics.
Right about that. Even though I
the flag,
his...
the country versus country is what people watch.
Oh, and that's why they watch figure skating?
Yes, no, it's they, patriotism. They don't watch the Nationals and the this and the that.
But they do. You're wrong about
nothing
that.
To do with
at the same level?
Not the same level.
Well, people watch the NHL too.
But the Olympics is the Super Bowl of that.
Exactly. And that's why people are watching.
But the ratings for like
they'd
the world...
watch it. If you put dog poop with a flag on it, they'd watch it.
But the ratings
because it's
for
the Olympic dog poop.
No. But the ratings for
yes, they would.
World Championship figure skating, which is just like a regular playoff game, is still out of this world.
See, I don't think it is.
For that
I
level,
think,
it's
see, now
it's
all
yeah, for that level.
Blows the NBA and the NHL out of the
for
water.
For that level. But not, it's nothing compared
but
to the Olympics.
No, the Olympics
the
Olympics
Super Bowl out of the water.
But you're comparing two different things.
But Olympic
I'm comparing figure skating to the NHL.
But you're
right,
also
and I'm comparing figure skating in the Olympics to hockey in the Olympics.
But you're also you're
that's why you're trying to tie to the NHL. I'm trying to tie to the Olympics.
You know what I love? I love our ratings talk.
I know.
We know nothing about ratings, yeah, but we love talking about it.
The guy who said the Super Bowl would do worse than the AFC title game 3 years ago.
I know, listen.
So
I
he's the expert I'm going to listen to on this.
Hey,
he knows his ratings.
He don't speak for us.
But these
but listen, you're coupling
executives that live and die by ratings. They don't know what they're doing.
But you're coupling.
I think they're stupid.
Okay.
Andy, you're personally, coupling figure skating
I think
with
they
the
put ideas right. in their head like, ooh, okay. if we put it on MSNBC, people like Andy will realize he has MSNBC and maybe he'll come back in the future and I can boost my all-time ratings.
I love when he starts talking,
talking loud and fast.
Loud
and
fast. He's like,
I do think there's a lot of idiots. Okay. Was it a good idea to move Jay Leno? They made that decision,
okay.
and it blew up in their face.
Right.
So it was either bad to get rid of him or bad to
will
bring him back, but you
it?
Screwed up one of the decisions.
You don't even know the situation with the Leno thing. They had no choice.
Right. They made a bad decision.
15 years ago.
No. Yeah.
And he's talking about
how,
he's talking about 3 months ago.
Wait, do you know
I
what
know,
they had to do
they
to
had
get rid
to,
no, they didn't.
No, they didn't.
No, they didn't.
That
it
was a self-inflicted wound.
It was $45 million balloon payment to Conan O'Brien that they didn't want to make. They made it at the end of it anyway, so you paid the $50 million no
yes.
matter what.
No.
Andy's
ten,
right.
Ten
that was a self-inflicted
wound. 10 years ago, Conan O'Brien got an offer to go. They said, look, stay, and in 10 years, we'll give you the Tonight
You'll get
Show.
The Tonight
or
Show.
You get a $50 million balloon payment right. that they
but
didn't want
to
pay.
They had to make. They had to give him the show.
No, they didn't.
They
would have handed
they
him $50
have
million.
To.
Dollars,
they didn't
just
have
like
to put Jay Leno on in primetime.
No, they didn't. But they didn't
but
want to lose.
But they did because they thought it was going
to
work.
But Fred, they didn't have to
and
give him the Tonight
failure.
Show.
They didn't want to lose Jay Leno either.
No, they didn't want to
so
pay $50
million. They did that.
And they screwed up because they paid him $50 million anyway when he left the second
right,
time
right.
6 months later.
Can I get back
when
to my
figure skating? When the ratings were terrible.
Right. They screwed up.
They
didn't know their business. Why were the ratings terrible? Because they made a bad decision.
Look,
so I'm saying they don't know their business.
Well,
thank you.
Okay.
So put hockey on.
Thank
They're
you.
Not
no
without fault.
Yeah.
They can screw up in ratings just like we can.
And don't
but
put what, it on MSNBC because anyone will ever find
I think
it.
What you're missing on this whole thing, you're coupling the
is
figure
the game,
skating.
Because it was on a channel. I didn't know where it was.
But you're coupling the figure skating with the Olympics. In other words, you're saying the reason people watch is the Olympics.
Yes.
Well, figure skating far and away is the greatest draw for the Olympics.
Right.
It's
because
not about
it
just the Olympics.
At a level.
It's the figure skating of the Olympics
but
that
it
blows everything else
times.
The Olympics do away.
It's more popular than all the other events because none of the other events are even on ever. There's never like
right.
snowboarding, blah blah
no,
blah.
I understand
team
that
snowboarding, whatever they call it.
You mean
cross.
in not Olympic
that,
months or
to
days?
Me,
weekends.
Figure skating is on mm-hmm. all, every year. They have something
I've
on.
I've never watched
they have
figure
those
skating.
Stupid
I hate it. I hate subjective
musicals.
Sports.
Eric watches them all. during the regular year.
That's not true. The skiing and snowboarding sports are on all the time.
Yeah, the X Games.
No, regular.
I've never seen skiing on.
Oh, yes, they
do. You're just not watching the right channel.
No one else is either.
World Cup skiing is on.
Tell me what the ratings are.
It's not high.
Is it on in prime time?
Skating gets real.
They're usually
real
on
TV
on Saturdays and Sundays.
What is the point?
Figure skating ratings are high all the time
at the Olympics.
No, not just at the Olympics.
It's a blip.
The World Championship.
It's not a blip.
The World Championship figure skating will have a much higher rating than anything the NBA or NHL will ever do. Probably anything the Major League Baseball will ever do.
Right.
It's not just the Olympics. It's figure skating in general.
But it's a national
thing. Every woman loves
it. It's the sport.
Is it much bigger than NASCAR or no?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know.
I would say it
You're confusing national with local. That's part of the problem, too.
Oh, I'm not talking
Everybody's
about local.
Rooting for
It gets bigger ratings
skaters,
than NASCAR, you think?
In general.
I think so.
Basketball, baseball, football. Part of the problem with ratings is there's teams with locations.
But you're
There's no location
you're
on figure
operating.
Skating. You're watching as a national event.
Well, I know, but
at all times.
This figure skating event will outdraw the NHL Stanley Cup.
Okay, you're assuming that
But what's your point?
If they put the hockey game on... If you're assuming
but
if they
teams,
put,
you're rooting for a country and you're watching all
Andy,
of them.
It doesn't matter what the reason is. It outdraws it.
But you're telling me, see, you're comparing
you can come up
NHL with Olympics. Yeah, I'm trying to compare Olympics to Olympics.
There's no comparison between the NHL
Stick
Stanley
with
Cup
Olympic
and the Olympic
hockey and Olympic ice skating. Don't muddy the water as you like to
but,
do with NHL regular
no,
season games.
But you're assuming
you're
that if they put the hockey
water,
game.
Not,
the,
I'm comparing Olympics to Olympics.
The bottom line is.
You need to leave at one.
The bottom line is.
Let you go now.
The figure skating is the
I'm
biggest
bummed out.
Draw.
This is
period.
Great.
Period. It doesn't matter why.
A great
right, because they're never wrong.
Because this is
oh,
a great
wait,
argument.
There's
something like our arguments that can't really be determined who won.
This has been proven
it's
out.
It's a hypothetical.
Decades.
So it was proven out in 1980.
Decades.
That,
yeah.
That was, no one watched that.
The ratings weren't as high as figure skating that year.
Okay. If you show me that, then I'm definitely wrong.
It was a bigger story because they ended up winning, but
okay,
no one thought they were going to win.
I want to see those ratings.
I don't have... I can't speak intelligently.
Bring that and on the back,
rings.
Write the teams and salary cap hell.
You know
too.
What I'm saying? No one expected them to win that game. It became a legend afterwards. But for years and years, figure skating has been
right.
the biggest draw. And it doesn't matter why. It just is.
But you don't know that it just is all the time.
But you're under
it's
the assumption that
everybody went into
that
the
hockey
Olympics.
Game, if it
I
was
saw
on
all these columnists and people writing the dreams matchup, USA and Canada. You had the dream matchup, and no one could watch it because it was on some stupid
because
channel.
Because hockey isn't that big a sport in America.
But it's the Olympics.
But what is your... Just
Neither
give me your
is
opinion.
Figure skating.
Give me your opinion,
How
Andy.
Many people figure skate? One-tenth of one...
You're missing the whole point.
No, I'm not.
Eight.
Missing the whole point.
What is your opinion? If what would have gotten a higher rating? The figure skating that they showed Sunday night on NBC or if they put that U.S.-Canada game on NBC?
I think the U.S.-Canada game would have done very well.
I think you're crazy.
You are.
Well, maybe I am. You thought the Super Bowl would do better.
All right.
I mean, do worse.
You know, obviously.
We can have stupid opinions on ratings if we want.
You're not arguing.
Because you've had the dumbest
That's why
ever.
Eric and I said it's
you're
the greatest
arguing
argument.
With me.
You
you're arguing
right
with
answer.
NBC.
Exactly. And you said they don't make mistakes, and I said they move to
the
and that's
make,
mistakes.
I think they make plenty
but
of
Andy,
mistakes.
Figure skating, this is decades research, that you know, right. data they have. It's not a snap judgment that they made just this year. They
but I'm
know
talking about
over
this year,
years.
Everybody said they wanted to see USA and Canada. USA and Canada was on in a convenient time slot, and
Trust
you didn't
me,
put it on.
The millions who are watching figure skating could care less. Your circle,
people like my mother.
I'm not so
sure. My mother loves the Olympics and she loves figure skating. She wouldn't have watched the hockey game.
I think if it was the Olympics, just watch.
If it was the gold medal game, that would have been different.
I
it was just a regular
hockey,
game.
But there's not enough
see,
of me
I think
and
a,
you.
I think a lot of people would because they go to the Olympics. I don't think they go to watch events. They go to the Olympics.
Yeah, but
that's what they're clicking. Ooh, 8:10, the Olympics are on.
Of the Olympics.
Part of that is that hockey is just a regular sport. Part of that is the reason that you said all these different sports that you don't get to see. I'm gonna watch this. I'm gonna watch that ski jumping last night.
Yeah.
See what that 17-year-old kid did. It's kind of a weird.
It's
thing.
A novelty.
I see these NHL players all the time.
Years. Right.
See, I think people would watch it.
That was a great.
It turned out to be a great.
Andy, I'm not saying it wouldn't have gotten a good rating. I think it would have gotten a better rating on NBC than it did on MSNBC.
I don't think
it would have beaten what they had on for the ice dance.
What was the? Well, it helped too that was a great game.
Right.
Like it was actually a really well-played game. It came down to the
end. It was
end.
A game everybody
Olympic
wanted
fighting.
To see,
Olympic
and then it was on in convenient
awesome.
Time.
It really is.
Did you watch any of the Russian
have,
game?
We
the
have
yes.
Russia
Czech Republic game. That was good,
unbelievable.
Too.
You yeah. see that hit that Ovechkin gave on
yeah.
Yager?
I saw the hit. Yeah.
Oh, killed him. And that led to a goal. Immediately led to a goal.
Andy's giving me the crickets look.
You know,
Ovechkin just laid out.
Is that on MSNBC too? Because it wouldn't draw ratings?
Where, I believe it was.
No, that was on regular. That was on NBC.
Was it on NBC?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, no, you're right. I did. It was.
Because right afterwards,
then I saw something. They told me to go to Universal Sports. Special. Do I have Universal Sports? What's that?
That's 8:46, I believe, or something like that.
You know, the thing is, we look at it from a major...
Mr. HD, you got to check out the...
I thought that was just called Universal, not Universal Sports, because there's always stupid movies on that channel.
You have channels. You got to go check them out. 901.
I don't think I have 901. I don't think I have anything in the 900s.
MSNBC HD is 901. Matter of fact, I watch ESPNU in HD 900.
We tend to look at the... We tend to look at sports from our major sports perspective. But the allure of the Olympics is beyond sports. It's more personalities. It's the women. It's the young... You know... They draw from outside the sports fans.
It's patriotism.
No, it isn't.
People,
I don't think it's less
patriotism.
I think
it has people are tied to their flag.
Certainly is an element.
I think some of it is,
sure,
but I think they're there to see the pageantry and the whole thing.
Well, yeah, but
I think it goes beyond even patriotism.
But you're rooting for your home country.
Right.
Mm-hmm. For the most part, you are, yeah.
Some 17-year-old stiff I've never heard of. I'm rooting for him. Because he's got an American flag on his chest.
If someone from your country is in the event and has a chance to medal, you're going to root for a person from your country.
Except for people like this sport.
You know, the year that, like, Nadia Comaneci got a perfect 10. Well, now from that point on, everybody was watching everything she did in those Olympics.
Well, sure.
Same thing with the other one.
There's always a darling of every Olympics.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter what country she's from.
Right. That is true.
Right.
That is true. But the lure of watching the games themselves is,
how your country
is largely
growing.
Patriotism.
Yeah. And you root for your country. But when it comes to figure skating, it's beyond that. It really is.
Paul, did you watch the Al Michaels 30th anniversary special on hockey team?
I caught bits and pieces of it, yeah.
Well done. I mean, it still gives you chills when you see the end of that game, even though you know it's coming. I don't know. I still get all...
They played the last 30 seconds of the game.
A flutter?
Yeah.
And just watching it. And like, there's so many different things you remember, but, like, the clock is clicking down, and they get the puck near the side, near the boards, and they get it out. There's, like, 5 seconds left, and they got it out of the zone. So now you know. The game's over. There's no way they can score from outside the blue line. It's never going to happen. And it's, like, 5 seconds to the goal. 5 seconds, 4 seconds, and it's when he's about to say, do you believe in miracles? But Ken Dryden, who's the color guy with Al Michaels in the background, goes, it's over. Right. It's like so many things that you just, random things that you don't remember. It's so funny.
Tim in Baltimore says,
now that would have been on some cable channel. No one ever would have seen it.
Just to be clear on this, it was on tape delay.
No,
I know.
When it originally happened.
I know.
The game was played at 5 o'clock. They didn't even show it live.
No, I know, but they still watched
because
it.
Because they knew
this
what happened.
This game was right in your window. This game was in your window of telecast.
He'll never.
And you did.
Never,
you're right. I won't. No. Just like you won't either on that salary cap thing.
That's true.
I learned it from watching
you. Even though I'm on your side in this one, he's right. What he just said. You'll never admit it either.
Tim in Baltimore says, "I know you guys have a lot of Patriots-related stuff to talk about today, but
we're talking about ratings.
We're
going to
spend 15 minutes on the Olympics.
I just
ratings.
Wanted to say that we should ban girls' halfpipe from the Olympics until those giggly schoolgirls learn to snowboard without listening to iPods.
Plus, they suck.
What's up with these kids anyway?"
They do suck. If you watch the men
and
then watch the girls, you're
it's
like,
not even close. Yeah.
They don't go half as high. They don't do half as many spins. Yeah. Even my wife was like, this is not fun to you. You just saw it's like watching the WNBA after the NBA. You saw great, and then you're like,
To me, the snowboarding is very, very boring.
Oh, well, I think Sean White, you watch him and you go, whoa.
Yeah, but he's like one guy. He's like,
he's the face of the sport right now.
I like the races on the snowboard. I don't necessarily like the half pipe when they just kind of perform.
Yeah,
I have no interest in that.
Also, LT stated that a championship is the number one priority for me. I know that there is no chance of him coming here, but where is
not
he going to end up?
Not a priority.
And how much will he be willing to play for?
He's not coming here.
How much would he be willing to play for? I think that he's going to
play. Fred Taylor. I'd rather have Fred Taylor.
Yeah, I would too.
I got to be honest with you, Fred. I would too. I like the Patriots' backfield without him more than I would like it with him.
I do too.
I think physically he's going to have one more good year, but I still think he's a soft punani.
I don't think
he's like those Colts. He's Marvin Harrison. He's a Hall of Famer who turtles in the time when you need him.
Yep. Do you see him getting much more than the minimum?
A little bit, yeah. Probably from someone.
Yeah.
Someone will bring him in as like a mentor.
More than 2 million?
Arizona. You know, Beanie Wells isn't quite ready to take over. You give him 1 year, some place like that where a young back needs
more than
a little.
$2 million?
What did Taylor get? Taylor got 3, right?
I don't know.
Fred Taylor?
Yeah, I think he'll get more than $2 million.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Instant reaction.
I thought he would be closer to the minimum. I have no interest whatsoever.
Instant reaction to our conversation. Alex in Falmouth, would you ask Andy to stop yelling? It is really uncomfortable to listen to the program when both the volume and pitch of his voice goes up, up, up. so we can speak over everyone else. I'd appreciate it.
Yeah.
It's true, though, Andy. You do. You start to sound shrill.
You sound.
John from Boston, can you send me an email when you guys talk about the Patriots so that I can tune back? Bummer.
Nope.
We talked about the Patriots the first 45 minutes. What do you want?
Boy, these people never happy.
All right.
It's true.
Why do you got to leave?
I got to.
Why are you not popular with the Chicago?
Tell
us why your day sucks.
My day sucks. As you may or may not know, I'm doing this clinic on Friday and Saturday.
Yeah, unfortunately, you had me pimping for you the last couple of times
for
the big
coaches,
show.
I got like,
and now as I'm predicted.
I got 400 coaches signed up, more coming down the pipe.
But as predicted.
Nick Saban is the headline speaker, and I got an email from his secretary today that he had to cancel
because
he's going to Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, shock.
So,
what's in Tuscaloosa?
I have no idea. But so they're sending the assistant head coach,
Roll Tide,
guy named Sal
Jim Bob.
So I forget his name. Sunseri.
You might want to work on this if you're going to sell this guy as like the great replacement.
So I'm scrambling today.
Sunseri and sound Sunseri about
I'm scrambling today to get things.
Hate to say, we told you so, Freddie.
Yeah.
Why do you keep saying that with such glee?
I know.
Not with glee.
Why are you happy about that?
No, it's not with glee. I feel bad for Fred, but I just
I knew
it was coming.
It was too good to be true.
Yeah, and he's a salesman.
I mean, that's what he does. I'm not going to Alabama. I'm not going to your coach. I mean, I'm going to your coaching clinic. I mean, I'm not coming. That's what he does. He's a used car salesman.
It was too good to be true. So
just too.
Next year, I'll have to get some type of ironclad agreement with whoever we get.
Why don't you get Randy Edsall? Call him last minute.
UConn coach,
the one that Notre Dame wanted, the one that every other. Call him. Seriously, call him.
It's not a bad
say,
idea.
Nick Saban blew out on me.
Who's that?
It's not a bad idea.
And listen.
Now I remember.
You're a local guy.
Yeah.
They're trying to get games here between UConn and BC at Gillette.
Right.
It's a friendly gesture.
UMass and UNH are going to play here, huh?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think so, yeah.
I was talking about relevant games, but.
I was talking about games that were actually taking place.
I'm talking about relevant programs.
All right. Well,
our voice is going up.
Call
Edsall. He'd be a great fill-in.
Well, the problem is they're really busy this time of year. And
I know, but call in a
favor. Short notice. We'll see.
You got a lot of emails over there?
It's not a bad idea. A lot of emails, but I got to go. It's 1 o'clock. We're going to take a break. When we come back, are you going to take over here?
Of course.
Eric?
They don't like to take over, so yeah, I guess I will.
What's that?
They don't like to take over on the show.
Oh, they, meaning Andy.
Andy and Paul.
We like to have time to actually discuss, and since Eric has no opinions, he's better to read the email.
And,
that's...
Eric,
you got that, John? Shrill in Boston!
Eric also likes being the host, too. He doesn't admit that, but he enjoys it.
He also likes...
It turns into PFW Online to NPR Today. All right, they'll be back. I won't.
So, Pat, what time does our flight get in?
It says here American Airlines Flight 505 gets in at 7:05.
Perfect. Game starts at 7:30. I suppose you know our gate number, too?
Yep. It says so right here on my phone, Brian.
Yeah, you think you know everything because you have one of those smartphones.
What's wrong? You're jealous because I can check AA.com, get flight info, gates and times, pretty much anything flight-related?
I like to keep it simple. You know, that's how I roll. I'm old school. So I travel with one of these.
Brian, that's a cordless phone.
Right. No cord.
From your home.
That's right.
How's that working out for you?
To be honest, the range is somewhat limited. But only when I travel. Find all the flight info you need for the big game or the big meeting at aa.com/mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Hey, don't go yet, sir.
But the light turned green.
Well, you don't go till I say so. You play by my rules. My rules. Ball start, loss of 5 yards, still first down.
What are you talking about?
Unsportsmanlike conduct, 10 yards.
Unsportsmanlike is 15 yards.
Move the chains!
You are a crossing guard.
Personal foul, 15 yards.
And stop blowing that whistle.
Think football? Bank football. Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warm-ups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Delay of game, 5 yards, first down.
But you're not...
Keep the Change patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services N.A. Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2009. Bank of America Corporation.
50 seasons of New England Patriots football. 3 Super Bowl championships. Endless memories.
It's good! It's good! That'll be a Terry!
Live them all at the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. Celebrate the greatest players, moments, and teams in Patriots history with sights and sounds that put you right in the action. Step inside the huddle as Tom Brady calls the plays. Go under the hood and review controversial calls just like a replay official. Learn the playbook from head coach Bill Belichick. Take your best shot at a game-winning field goal in the snow and let the confetti rain down while you gaze at the Patriots' three Vince Lombardi trophies.
Back-to-back, 3 out of 4. Yes, it's a dynasty.
And don't miss the 30-foot-high displays honoring the team's greatest players or the signature film showing the history of football in New England. The Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, is located next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Mass. And is open 7 days a week. Call 508-698-4800 for more information or go online to thehall@patriotplace.com. The Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. An unforgettable, exciting, interactive experience.
And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
When we played at Reliant in the Super Bowl, remember how humid it got
it
at the end of
really,
that game?
It was really, really hot.
It was very humid, and the grass got slippery. Remember
but they
that?
Take that field out, you know.
In trays.
Yes, they do, but right. It stays out in the parking lot.
But if it goes in moist, it doesn't dry.
You're such a child.
Really? Yeah, I can't help it.
I thought it too.
No, you
didn't laugh out loud.
Parts of it will stay hard, and other parts,
Jesus,
will the end zones were soggy.
That's another great moment from PFW in progress.
Well, we've lost the fat man, and we're running lead. It's just lean. Eric, Andy, and
not
Paul
lean,
now.
Lean.
Doc's still
and
behind
it's not
the
truth because Paul's still here.
Yeah. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7482. The phone number, Kevin in Redding's on the phone. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
No problem.
What's up, good, Kev?
Hey, I wanted to jump in on this Olympic talk, if you don't mind, and tie it all back.
Not at all.
At the risk of upsetting other people.
Yeah. Well, I think when you were talking about the ratings, one of the things they've done better this year is years before it's been so figure skating heavy. And this year, it seems like they're throwing in more sports, more downhill, more snowboarding. And I don't know if that's just because we're winning a lot of medals at these, so they're showing more of it. But that seems to be a much better combination this year than it was before.
Yeah, I do agree, and I think that one reason for that, and I think the coverage, the time difference is perfect for this situation with it being in Vancouver. You mentioned the downhill, Kevin. How great was it watching, I think, last Wednesday night when the women's downhill was on, the one that Lindsey Vonn won? They had the opportunity to take all that coverage that they filmed, all the footage, and in the span of, what, 3 or 4 hours, they could package that exactly the way they wanted to show it in prime time. And
yeah,
that's the perfect turnaround time right there, where they had all kinds of commentary that was geared toward what actually happened. That advantage, to me, that's the difference between the live and the tape delay. But it was a good difference, and they were able. I think the coverage has been absolutely outstanding. I don't know how much you guys have watched this stuff, but
I've been DVRing it every night, and whatever
I haven't gone quite that far, but it's been
very
good.
I tend to fall
asleep. All 7 channels.
It's only on NBC. Andy.
Not the stuff you want to see.
And God, yeah, MSNBC, that's like such a far-out channel that he can't find on his cable
CNBC,
system.
CNBC, Universal.
See, I'm the guy that shouldn't have been
Weather
able to find
channel.
It. This guy is always clicking around looking for something to watch, I can't believe he didn't just stumble upon it.
The thing about the hockey, right, is they're not going to put 3 hours of
exactly.
hockey on prime time. It's just not going to happen. But what they should have been doing is they should have been saying, and I don't think they were, because I was actually flipping back and forth a little bit. I didn't really hear them saying, if you want to watch the hockey game, it's on MSNBC.
Well, they did. That's why I knew it was on MSNBC.
Okay.
If you watched the
I'm with you, Kevin.
Well, how many times did they do it? Because I don't think they did it a lot.
Well, I was watching the hockey game, so I couldn't tell you how many times they did it.
Here's what happened. If you watched the Russia-Czech Republic hockey game, right after that, they did the 30th anniversary special, which was like about 40 minutes long.
Which was yesterday, I believe, was the 30th anniversary of the Russian
game. Yes, it was.
It was yesterday.
And during that segment, at the beginning and when they took a break at one point and at the end, Al Michaels kept saying, you know, the game with Canada's coming up. It's going to be on MSNBC right after this. So they did say it a few times or else.
Yeah, but Kevin was talking about when it was on, like when you're watching
yes.
whatever I was watching at.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean during?
Say right now, on MSNBC. Across
well,
the
like
bottom.
Paul said, I don't know.
I was watching
it.
The hockey game. I don't know.
The thing about that was, I think that was the night Bodie Miller got his gold, and I wanted to actually see that. And I had purposely what I've been doing is I haven't even been going on ESPN or Boston.com because I don't like to know the results and then watch it.
Right.
So I rather just watch it at night. And I think I was trying to watch the race with the where Bodie Miller won the I think it's the Super G or whatever the hell they call it.
But they, I don't know exactly when that all took place on Sunday, but they have done a pretty good job of saying when they're going to put certain events on. Like you'll see a little scroll come up the bottom and say 23 minutes Vaughn goes for gold or something like that.
But, I love that.
Like I said, because they have the ability to they're controlling it.
Right.
But they don't. What they didn't do is they didn't direct you away from NBC.
Right.
Pretty much, I think they may have said it at the beginning of the NBC broadcast, and then pretty much, I think the only thing you heard is at the very end when they switched to like the last couple of minutes.
Right.
Now the other thing was Andy last week was kind of getting on the Lindsey Vonn and some of those downhill
skiers.
My question is, who's tougher? Who's either tougher or braver?
Paul's going to say hockey players.
A football player or one of those downhill racers? Because think about this, right? Put any one of you guys on the back of a pickup truck with just a ski helmet on and spandex, right? Have that truck drive 80 miles per hour, right? On packed snow that's almost ice-like, and then push you off that truck. That's basically what happens with those downhill skiers when they go down.
We'll start with Eric.
They're crazy. They are. They're crazy. That's
oh, no
just
question.
Crazy.
No question. No, so, my criticism of her wasn't – I mean, all the other skiers are doing the same thing she is. She had a little bruise, and I've had to hear about it for 2.5 weeks.
Stop calling it a little bruise. She had a legitimate injury.
It was a bruise.
She could barely even walk.
It was a bruise. Yeah, she told us that.
But Andy, remember,
if you want to make fun of how many times she's saying it, that's fine, but don't say she's not really hurt.
Have you ever skied before, Andy?
Yes.
The right way?
I don't know. I'm not an expert like you and your girlfriend. No, I'm not. I've never beat Lindsey Vonn in a race.
Is there a right way and a wrong way?
There is, but the shin takes the brunt of the pressure when you're skiing.
It's
a
bruise.
So if you have a shin injury and you can't flex and you're going 80 miles an hour,
it's a bruise.
It's a tough thing to do.
How many times did I have to hear Tom Brady bitch about his ribs? You think his ribs hurt every week? I didn't hear him bitch about it once.
She got that bruise.
That's only because he wasn't allowed to.
She got that.
They do
that.
They do all the bitching comes after the season's over. See Randy Moss.
She got that bruise being thrown off the pickup truck, though.
Right.
So
no, I know.
You know.
But it was a bruise.
But okay.
I'm with you, Kevin.
Well, I gotta run. I gotta go back to work. We'll talk football next week.
All right.
Maybe.
All right, Kevin.
Maybe.
All right. Yeah.
Thanks,
we'll decide what we talk next week.
You know, the other non-football thing we haven't talked about yet that's happened since the last show.
now we're forcing them in. We're looking for non-football things.
Well, but I think it's appropriate given the passions that we feel about these things. The Tiger Woods,
Tiger Woods, y'all.
Statement. One of the most ridiculously insincere things I've ever seen in a public forum.
What I have been very surprised about in this whole thing is how many people have been so strongly. Eric just obviously on one side, and so many other people, wow, very impressive. I thought it was really sincere. And I don't think it was all just sycophants that were saying they were impressed by it. I just was stunned how anybody could be so strongly moved by someone reading it off a piece of paper. Now, I don't think it was quite as bad as Eric pointed out, but I certainly don't think it was anywhere near. If I had to, I'm closer to Eric's side than the other side. Tom Rinaldi on ESPN, I don't know if you guys heard any, like, they basically had a pregame and a postgame for this nonsense.
Yeah, I saw.
They replayed the entire thing as part of SportsCenter.
Well, I have to say, they also did on, I want to say CNN or CNN Headline News, they were teasing 2:45 Eastern re-air of full Tiger Woods statement.
And how long did it last?
One of the, it's like 13 minutes or something like
just
that?
Just under 15 minutes.
Tom Rinaldi on ESPN said, it's going to be one of those moments 20 years from now, people are going to be saying, remember where you were when Tiger Woods made that comment. And I laughed because I saw this all Saturday morning.
It's not that important.
And I'm not lying, Andy. I legitimately looked at Beth and I said, it happened yesterday. I don't remember where I was when it happened yesterday.
Yeah.
And in the grand scheme of things,
the guy's cheating on his wife. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not like
I'm no
the
big
steroid scandal came to a head or any
it's one guy.
It's unbelievable.
Who did a stupid thing
seventeen times. Right.
Or whatever the number is. But it has no bearing on anything.
It was amazing to me to see
that
reaction.
What you think of him.
And
I'd just like to welcome the world to my view of Tiger Woods. Everybody now knows that I was right.
No, but just to point that out, I wanted to say, Andy is coming at it from one side. He has always been anti-Tiger, and I'm coming at it from another side. I've always been pro-Tiger, but yet we both saw this exactly the same way. I can't imagine that people think this was such a big deal. All the guy did was cheat on his wife.
I know. It's
insane. I'm not saying it's not a big story. It is, because it's a guy who portrayed himself as perfection,
right?
Mm-hmm. And he cheated on his wife. Very rarely, I think it's inconceivable to have a guy who was further away, his reality was further away from his perception,
right,
than what Tiger Woods was. That's why I think it's a huge story. But to have these people, these in real news too, not just sports, you know, suck-ups, real news people sitting there breaking it down and saying how sincere he was.
See, that's the thing. I said to Andy this morning, I couldn't tell which was more starched, his shirt or his delivery, because
he worked all weekend on that one. That was a little Fred Kirsch-ism.
That was very Fred Kirsch-like.
But it was true. It was so insincere to me.
Paul's right. Some people thought it was sincere.
A lot of people thought it. I was stunned.
Oh, I just don't know how you can see that.
Nellings.
But even like people, even really sarcastic, cynical people on EEI. You know, like Glenn and those guys, some of them, they were like, oh, you know, he did a good job. And I don't think he was that bad, but the bottom line is, how good can you think he did when he read a prepared statement?
Right.
And
probably for the 20th time. Probably had practiced it 19 other times.
Anything he said.
With some guy going, ooh, ooh, ooh. There, pause a little longer between those two
sentences.
Whoever
coached him did a horrible job.
If you're going to talk, if you're going to make something like that, and you're going to say how well he came off, or he came across as sincere, basically anything that he said without any notes and just speaking off the cuff would have been, to me, better.
Oh God,
better.
Yeah.
Received.
I told Eric, I think there's one of two options. You either sit there and do the Andy Pettit, answer it all once, open up, or you do the prepared statement way that he chose. But I think he could have gone, in my eyes, could have gone up there, sat down unprepared, you know, relaxed, and said whatever he said. You know, I diddled little boys, and I think he would have come out better on the other side, because people would have said, at least he was honest. At least he was open.
Did you get that one?
At least he was. And to me, this was useless. This was.
You take what you sit down and you say, I'll take all your questions for as long as it takes, but after this, it's over.
Right.
You get it all out of the way.
See, I would have done that too. I agree. I think you take your medicine all at once. I don't really care about the questions, because I really don't think there were that many relevant questions to be asked.
Maybe not, but you at least have to have. Some people
golf related
questions out there.
Golf. See, I don't care about any of that.
See, I do.
I don't care about any of it. But golf related questions, performance enhancing drug related questions, I think were all very legitimate. You know, when you're coming back, have you ever done this? What about this report or whatever? I mean, was it 17, 19, 22? I don't care how. I mean,
see, I don't care about the number.
Clearly,
but I think if he impregnated women, then may have coerced them into abortions. I think you've crossed another line.
Oh, God.
There's another boundary you've crossed.
You're right, but I'm not as interested in that
well,
line.
I'm not really interested
boundary,
in any of it.
But
I'm just glad the facade has been finally torn
down.
I
just can't imagine
people
that
follow him.
Someone read a statement and was perceived to be as sincere as some people thought he was. I can't imagine.
He was a robot.
It was
a robotic performance.
And I do think,
which is what he's been all.
See,
his life.
I do think what he said, I think he was more forthcomingly apologetic than most of these guys that come out. You know, A-Rod, McGuire, Jason Giambi, Andy Pettit, all these steroids guys, Clemens. My God, Clemens.
But, yeah, I'm
not everyone approached
the content of the statement.
Yes,
you're saying.
He said many times, "Put this on me. This was my fault." And I even think what he's, you know, people said that he attacked the media. No, he didn't. All he said was, my wife and kids didn't sign up for this.
Right.
Please stop following them. He has a 2.5-year-old son who's getting followed to school.
Right.
And I can understand that. But again, you're reading the statement like a robot. I just don't see how someone could come out of that and say, 20 years from now, we're going to remember where we were. Everybody's going to remember where they were when they heard the statement.
I doubt it.
I think 20 days from now, people won't have any recollection of where they were at all. It just was very surprising to me, but a huge story. And I thought.
And it was covered
over
like
the,
it
over
was,
the top
oh,
embarrassing
God
the way
Almighty.
It was covered. It was covered as if it was like 9/11.
Right.
Or if it was like, if the president was coming out and making the statement. ridiculous. Oh, Paul's distracted. My girl's on Fox.
My favorite two-shot. What?
That's inappropriate.
No, it's not.
What are you talking about?
There are two people
on
set.
Oh,
I thought it was just Megyn Kelly.
That's what a two-shot is.
I thought it was just Megyn Kelly and her two-shot.
And Monica Crawley.
I don't know if you've seen this, Paul. There's a new series on NFL Network.
It's pretty good.
It's
The
Missing Rings.
Missing Rings, yeah. I watched
very good.
I watched some of this one. This is the Minnesota one from 98.
I enjoyed this one.
I also watched some of the 88 Cincinnati Bengals.
I saw that one, too.
Which Sam Weish was very good with that, and Boomer was
very
good.
Have they done the 07 Patriots yet? Or?
That's got to be on it. It has to be. I mean, in all seriousness.
No, it has to be.
You're right, it does.
Teddy Bruschi, Rodney Harrison.
Here's what
you have guys that can talk about it honestly now.
That's true.
They're no longer Patriots.
You know who would be interesting to hear from? Not that he was a major player on that team, but Junior.
Sure.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure they will do it.
How can you not do it?
The missing ring?
They went 18-0. The ring was like...
You're saying they couldn't get the players to talk?
I'm not sure they get as much cooperation as you might think.
From who? But that's why I'm saying
these... You go to the guy... No,
I don't think Bill will be involved.
But like Andy said, you go to the guys who aren't here anymore.
It's Bruschi, it's Harrison, it's Seau.
Vrabel? It absolutely needs to be done.
Braves? Samuel? Yeah.
Dean Pease?
Yeah.
You only need... They only use like two. They have two main voices.
Yeah.
So if you get Harrison and Bruschi...
Jimmy Gandolfini, Paul, is the narrator in that series.
On which one?
The Minnesota one. Missing Rings.
They
don't have the same guy for every one. It's a different
guy.
They
alternate?
Oh, yeah.
There's a different guy that does
every
one of them.
There's a different guy.
It's usually a guy from
like
that area.
Matt Damon or something would
Tom Selleck has done...
So Gandolfini's from the Midwest, Minnesota area?
I don't know. I have any idea.
But the good thing about the Esiason one is I think they opened with it. The quote, and it says 5 days earlier, Super Bowl week, whatever. And they ask him, Boomer Esiason, what's the dream scenario for a quarterback in the Super Bowl? And he goes, 30 seconds left, you're inside the 20, you need a touchdown to win.
Wow.
And as he's talking, they put Joe Montana up. And they show like the down in the distance, and you're like, oh, that sucks.
Wow.
And then they cut to Boomer on the sideline watching him throw the touchdown pass, and it's just like, it's funny. It's good stuff.
Before we move on, our friend Nano Steel just wrote in. I bet Andy
Jake's brother?
Yes. I bet Andy would be able to find this if it was on MSNBC. Topless sledding. And he provided a link, which I believe Doc just printed out for us.
With a little dot placed where...
Was that really...
Topless sledging.
Where did that happen?
Says, first of all.
Sledging?
There's a G.
Huh. Wow. Where did that...
Topless sledging is my kind of Winter Olympics. I don't know.
Huh.
It's one of those UK sites. If that was on MSNBC, I'd probably work a little harder to find it.
Hmm. Work a little harder?
Germany.
Andy?
All this. Germany?
Really? Like it.
Everything's better in Germany. Just ask the slap chop guy.
Yes.
Crowd of 14,000 to witness.
That's excellent. Ask and you shall receive.
I thought you were just going to watch Paul read it.
No.
When that's happening, you're supposed to read an email.
Ask and you shall receive. Last week, Rajiv, our friend, brought us lunch. And
yes,
he did. Just come back from a whirlwind tour. And we
want to know what he did, who he did.
He says, hey, guys, how you all doing? So it happened. Will Fork got tagged. I think it's just a precautionary measure get a deal done. Good, Paul.
Not Eric.
Following up on my lunch email, I was on a trip mixing business and pleasure. I'm doing my PhD at West Virginia University in Morgantown. I call it behind enemy lines as it is close to Pittsburgh and dominated with Steelers fans. I'd gone for a two-week training seminar in Canada. Since I'm from Bombay, India, I then went home for New Year's and Christmas and to spend time with family and friends, which was good since it was after a long time. So if you don't have a pin on the map, you can put one on Bombay, India, Doc.
Do we have one, Doc? We don't have any pins, right?
I need pins.
For crying out
boy.
Loud.
He can't any requisition
here,
this guy has gets
yeah, he sucks.
Declined. While returning, I visited Thailand and Singapore.
Bangkok?
I can hear you.
Apparently. And it was a nice experience given the fact that I could play
a
lot of...
Did I just ask Eric Bangkok and he said apparently?
You were talking about him.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, you also
Lent.
Said you
Lent.
Did a little
I have to
boys.
Keep reminding myself. Lent.
No, that was, you know what that was, hypothetically.
So Rajiv says it was a nice experience given the fact that I could play a lot of golf in nice tropical weather. And given the warm climate, it was a nice change to see scantily clad women on the beach in December rather than all dressed up in snow back in Morgantown.
Drilling for oil, huh?
Right.
In Bangkok.
And now I'm back to being overworked and back to the snow. But, hey, at least there's the free agency draft and new season to look forward to. And then there's your great show, which keeps me going. So had a question. Who's going to cover the draft, and are you going to be covering the draft with some additional shows?
Sure.
Well, we're all going to be covering the draft.
I wanted to bring that up to you guys. We've gotten some emails.
Guy's all pissed off that we're cutting it by a third or something.
Yeah. What are we
doing? They added a third.
Do we make an announcement about this last
week?
Fred
was saying we haven't decided yet, but we're going to do the first night, and then either the second night or wrap it all up on the third night. What the heck is going on Fox? They keep undressing this woman.
I like it, though.
I know, with a pen. Wow.
I'd rather use something
anyway,
else.
Anyway.
But... my hands.
Yeah, they don't allow toothpicks over there, Andy.
Oh,
anyway.
Good one.
Ping pong. Ping pong.
So anyway, Fred was undecided as to what shows to do. He didn't want to do all 3 days of the draft. And Andy and I were kind of lobbying that we should at least do the first two rounds because that's when the biggest profile picks would be up. And somebody wrote in and said we should do a podcast, like a 10-15 minute wrap-up at the end of the third day, just so that, you know, we're on record as having talked about it, but that we should do live shows on the first 2 days.
Why is he so against just doing a show every day?
I don't know.
I mean,
he says we're going to be busy doing all the things for the paper and the web and all that.
We're always busy doing other things.
Right. Suddenly he decides. Well, what's he busy doing, by the way? Well, we're doing all that. We're the ones that are putting updates up.
Today is, I mean.
No, now he's busy. I'm talking about on the draft.
Well, Nick Saban pulled the carpet out from underneath.
I'm talking about on the draft.
I don't know. Nick Saban. He's always got a lot going on.
I think we should do a show every day. Now, normally we kind of get caught, especially the first day, we do a really long show because we always start at a certain time and try to wait till we make a pick, and sometimes that can go forever. But we don't have that problem really this time because of the...
Unless they trade up.
Yeah.
Well, we could get caught
not
being on
the
air,
but...
Well, we can always go live when we need to go live, right?
Yeah, I suppose.
I don't know, Doc, are you capable of thinking on your feet?
Yes, sir.
I know you're an expert on skiing, but... I wish you were an expert in radio production.
So Rajiv continues. Here's a list of prospects I'd like you guys to interview when we go to the
Eric,
combine.
You're writing these down, right?
Sure. Who would look great in a Pats uniform? Sergio Kindle, number one on his list. Okay, great.
Yeah, he's been on my list for a long time as well.
Ricky Sapp, Carlos Dunlap, Colt McCoy. No, thanks. Aurelius Ben.
Whoa. The guy wants you to interview him.
Yeah, we'll interview him, but he's saying that would look good in a Patriots uniform.
Eric knows who would look good in a Patriots uniform.
That's a good point.
He spent many years studying that.
Exactly. I like Aurelius Ben, by the way, a lot. And I don't think he's not thought to be one of those
name?
Big top.
His nickname?
Regis or Regis?
Yeah, how do you say it? Is it Regis or Regis?
I don't know. We'll have to find that out when we get there.
I don't know.
It's R-U-S is how he spells it.
Must be Regis.
I don't know.
But Regis Philbin is R-E-G-I-S.
That's correct.
So?
That is correct.
That's his real name.
Exactly.
This is a nickname.
There's no G in Aurelius, so I don't know where the G comes from. But anyway, Corey Wooten, Ryan Matthews, we like him, the running back. Fresno.
I don't.
Part of we doesn't really like him.
Punani, goal line rudder.
We like the fact that he's a Fresno State product.
I don't like
and
him.
And he was productive and all that, but you know
the
what?
One, the one clip we
I saw
him was four carries on the goal line, and he got
some
stuck
by the
guy.
Some little white stiff from Wyoming was making him look like...
Cost me a pick.
Des Bryant, Taylor Mays, Terrence
Cole. Oh, yeah, wait, time out. Yeah, I got to talk about Taylor Mays. Because in this
Let's
year
about
of
Taylor Mays,
Eric Scalavino, the pompous one, always go back to school for your senior year. Sam Bradford and Taylor Mays took the Eric Scalavino route. One had an injury that now has him at best a middle-of-the-first-round pick in a lot of places. And the other just played his senior year, got banged up, nicked up, but played the whole year in and out, and is now no one knows what he is.
Not
is he a linebacker? He may not be a top 20 pick.
Last
so,
year
Mr.,
was...
go back to school, you can stuff it because you get screwed by going back to school.
I My point is, often, I think if more you're often that good, not, you'll get your money eventually. If
but
you,
no,
prove,
you
if you prove
but
that
you
you're
don't.
That good, you will.
No, you won't.
I think when you chase money,
is
you
Vince
never
Wilfork
get it.
That good? Because he could be picked in the same spot Taylor Mays. So 6 years in, all of a sudden you're trying to get paid. You're not getting the huge money that you get in the top five. Those two guys were potentially top five picks a year ago. Now they're not even maybe top 15 picks. They cost themselves tens of millions of dollars.
And you remember
what about Myron Roll?
What about him?
What about him?
Now he's a fourth
He skipped
round
an entire season to go to school.
Right, and now he's
and
a fourth round pick.
I think his draft stock is moving up from what I'm reading.
Okay, so he might get into the second round. Big whoop.
This is that's an entirely different situation because this is a guy who is clearly more qualified to do something other than football.
Right.
Whereas none of these other guys virtually can say the same thing.
Not only that, but
theoretically they should if they spent 4 years in college.
No, but his passion is somewhere other than football.
Try to get out of fantasy land for a second.
You spent 4 years in college and you're toiling here.
A lot of guys... right or wrong, you may not agree with it, but a lot of guys go to college with the intention of being a professional athlete.
I think most of them. I don't think Myron Roll did that. Yeah.
Myron Roll parlayed his athletic ability into helping further his academic career.
Probably.
God bless him for it. Good for him.
Right.
Very few guys are in that situation.
I agree with
Sam Bradford left money on the table, and it's an argument that Andy and I had with you.
I know.
Probably that went on for longer than it needed to last year.
And you were way up on your high horse.
They always do.
And we were way down here in reality.
And the peons ended up being right, as usual. He will never get the money that he lost.
If he's that good, he will.
Why?
You have no argument. Thank you. No further questions.
He will. If he's that good, he will.
He's damaged goods. Which one are we talking about now? And by the way, you just said something like kind of dismissively that Paul said a lot of these guys go to school expecting or projecting to be pro athletes.
He's right.
Yeah, and you know who else projects them and hopes that they do that? The schools. They're not bringing them there to go to become Rhodes Scholar. They're bringing them to Florida State to win the Heisman Trophy, to pick off 10 passes.
Right.
They want them to be pro athletes, too, because it means they maximize their football scholarship.
Right, but while you're there, you would think that you would learn something.
Maybe, if you want to, if you're so driven. If you're not, you won't.
I understand what your point is, and in a perfect world, there are more Myron Rolls out there, but it's not a perfect world. A lot of these guys, they use their athletic ability.
I know that.
As they should.
To go.
You take your gifts, you use them. If you're gifted athletically, you should pursue that.
Right, but you're given two great opportunities there. The opportunity to use your athletic skills and to get a free education, which most of these guys throw away.
But a lot of them aren't qualified to do a whole lot more than they do academically. I mean, you make it sound like they all just throw it away. Some of them wouldn't be in college without the athletics. Myron Roll would have gone to college without the athletics.
That's certainly true, yes.
I just think that when you have the opportunity to be that high of a pick. Now, if you're going to be a third-round pick, by all means, go back to school. Get your education. It might not work out for you. If you're going to be a top-five pick like Sam Bradford was last year, I don't see how you come back. Bad things can happen. Maybe he ends up being a top five pick again. Who knows?
So I would assume then your argument would change if the NFL finally institutes a rookie cap, a legitimate rookie cap.
My argument wouldn't change.
So if a guy's picked in the first round and only can make $300,000,
that's never going to happen.
Smart.
Well, that's what they're talking about.
To be that low, $300,000? No way.
You know what I'm talking about. It's not going to be like a Sam Matthew Stafford type deal.
No,
but it's going to be in the millions.
It's not going to go from that to minimum. It's going to be somewhere in between.
No, but the jackpot is a lot smaller than it would normally have been.
Well, regardless of what it is, I would want to get that money as soon as I can. And it's always going to be the higher you're drafted, the more of that jackpot you're going to get.
And you can always go back to school.
All you get for going back to school is an increased opportunity to not have that same draft status. Now, like I said, maybe Sam Bradford, maybe these scouts are smart enough to say, you know what, he didn't have a good senior year,
all right,
but we obviously know he can play. But maybe they don't, maybe he lost money.
One thing Andy just said, you can always go back to school. But what you guys just said was a lot of those guys wouldn't even be in college if it weren't for the athletics.
Right.
So if they get
But if they
the,
want to be, they could.
But I'm saying if they want to go back to school, they can.
If they
Most
take
of them
their $300,000 and immediately put $50,000 in a bank account to say, if I bust out, this $50,000 is going to the last year of my education. So I get my degree.
If they want to. Now, a lot of the guys wouldn't have any interest in going back to school either way. But they could if
it's
they
an option.
To.
But if you go back to school, you don't have the option if you screw something up of being a top five pick again.
Well, something tells me those schools wouldn't necessarily want them back if they weren't playing football there.
If they paid $50,000, of course they would.
Right. Not on a scholarship, but
they would pay their money, take their classes, and finish their
Especially
degree.
Especially if they ended up leaving on good standing in terms of their academic situation. And like Andy said, they bring them in for other reasons. They bring them in to bring popularity to the
If you're
and,
a four-year
notoriety
C student
this
or whatever. They'll take your $50,000 to finish your degree, no doubt. How many people go to those schools? 40,000 people or whatever? Ridiculous?
But to answer your question about the rookie cap, if the rookie cap, once that gets in, it's still going to put pressure on these guys to leave so they can get into the draft and be as high as they can.
Right.
I think if you're a guy who's going to be a top 10 pick and you go back for your senior year, I would never criticize someone for staying all 4 years. I mean, how can you criticize a guy for continuing his education? But I just think that when you're going to be a top 10 pick, more often than not, you cost yourself money. Matt Leinart, Sam Bradford, you know, Taylor Mays is another example that you brought up.
Well, I like it because they're kind of two different. I know Mays had the knee injury, but still played pretty much all year.
Right. Now
Bradford
they don't know where he fits.
Had a major injury.
Now they don't know where Taylor Mays fits.
You gave them the opportunity to downgrade you, and they have.
And that's what happens. The longer they watch you, the more warts they see. They find reasons why you shouldn't be there. It's just like the pre-draft process that we all agree gets mind-numbing after a while. Right now, there's guys... projected in a certain spot. I saw Peter King wrote about this week. He had an anonymous guy saying that 90% of his draft board is made right now, and it won't change.
How dumb is Peter King?
That's one of those great hypotheticals. I'd like to see his draft board after the draft. Right. Why is it going to change by 10%? Right. Because the combine is going to sway your opinion, Mr. Mm-hmm. High and Mighty. But that's what ends up happening.
Who's he yelling at?
the anonymous guy on Peter King's story. Did you see
and
that?
And I know no. ifs and buts or candy and nuts. If they were, we'd all have a great Christmas.
That's what ends up happening, though, is this whole
it's
pre-draft.
Like butcher's cliches.
The whole pre-draft process is mind-numbing because guys will just rise and fall. They'll watch and watch and watch. And the guy who's an A player right now, they're going to keep watching him. He's not going to change.
Right.
He didn't do anything different, all of a sudden he's going to be a C come
April. The thing that annoys me the most, and we're going to see it this week, Andy, and in the weeks following, is a guy who's maybe a mid-round pick right now is going to go to the combine. He's going to bench 225, 30 times at a position where that's, unheard of. And all of a sudden he's going to jump up on the draft board. He's going to run a fairly decent 40 time that nobody expected him to run. And then he's going to get to the NFL, and he's going to be a bust because nobody took the time to look at his game tape and see, this guy really can't play.
Well, that's what this guy was talking about. And it was the reason I make fun of him is he was one of those guys, Andy. He gives you the old line. You take a stopwatch away from some of these guys, they wouldn't be able to tell you a good player from a bad player. Oh, but I know that you, Mr. Anonymous Scout guy, you know the difference. It just was very
Did he
arrogant.
Not need a logo on his shirt?
Yeah.
Tell him he knew him.
I'm guessing he worked for a certain organization.
Oh, wow. What are you pointing at, Paul?
Nothing.
boy. And Josh writes in, he wants us, Andy, to interview the punter, Zoltan Mesko.
Okay.
Why are you
playing? Hey, what did you think of Billy Madison, by the way? Do we get into that on the radio?
We didn't get into that on the radio. I did. I watched that last week for the first time.
Apparently Paul is the reason we talk non-football. I think we were all football.
Too much draft stuff.
It was a segue off of this back to school.
I couldn't hear you. You were stepping all over it.
You were?
You were.
Oh, wow.
He doesn't talk.
Wow.
So he doesn't step on
Pardon
anything.
Me.
He's got his lip filled with stuff.
Oh.
He does.
Oh, back to school. Back to school. To prove to Dad that I'm not a fool. I got my lunch packed up, my boots tied tight. I hope I don't get in a fight. Back to school.
All right. All right. The bus just drives right by him.
It's a great movie.
It was a good movie.
Great.
It was a good movie. And I didn't realize how many lines Andy had lifted from that and now uses as his everyday vernacular.
Yes, a lot of people do.
Like when he tells our circulation manager, Carol Hardy, when he goes, Carol,
no more
talkie-talkie. I didn't realize that's where that came from.
Everything he does comes from
snack
something.
Pack. Oh, but this movie is the...
But it's not just
the source of all of his...
If you paid attention, I mean, a generation of college students, Adam Sandler was like the quote machine.
Man, I'm glad I called that guy.
Yeah, that's another one.
What did you think of the movie, though?
I liked it.
He didn't like it.
He didn't.
No, I did.
And he's afraid I'm going to dive across the table and start beating him up.
I liked it.
Exactly what I was thinking.
My favorite part of it was
whatever
the,
have a nice
whatever the hell her name was. Yeah. What's her name?
Yeah.
Veronica Vaughn.
Yes. That Veronica Vaughn.
One piece of ace.
I know from experience, dude.
Oh,
no,
yes.
No, you don't.
Want to touch right.
Well, I know a guy who, No, you don't.
No, you don't.
It's a great
Good,
movie.
Great, grand.
Yeah, that's another one that Andy uses all the time that he passes off as his own.
I've never passed.
Other
people
I don't
people
think he
knew.
Ever passes him off as his own.
Everyone else knew.
I wanted to see how fast I could get him to start talking loud and quickly.
You're an idiot.
Apparently it worked.
I'll slow down and say it very slowly. You are an idiot. A flaming idiot.
Chris with the TIAN says, Guys, as usual, you're right on. I, too, have been watching the Missing Rings on NFL Network. They actually debuted last year, and the 07 Pats immediately came to mind. I then puked for the next several moments.
But you got to. They are like the poster child for the series.
Seriously.
The ring was assumed.
Right. Mm. More so than any other ring in Super Bowl
history.
Because
even the Vikings, it was a step earlier that they lost.
Yep.
You know, you could say the 0-1 Rams could be the same story.
Sure, yeah,
even though they'd already won one, so I don't know what the criteria is.
Oh, that's true, too. If you actually won one, maybe they wouldn't be... Maybe the Rams and the Patriots wouldn't be in.
I mean,
it's much different.
I think they should be in because I think it's an individual team that I think that people thought
either that.
Maybe the
league. Do a Moss show. Well, that's
I was going to say maybe the league.
Young
Randolph
in these highlights.
Randolph.
Yeah, he dropped in the NFC title game. Porked him.
Wow.
Coming across the middle, he had his hands in the wrong way. Instead of putting them out front and doing the triangle, he did the pinkies together.
Chris with the TIAN continues, I've seen the Vikings and Bengals missing rings. Very well done. By the time you get done watching them, you feel like you're on the team that lost.
Yep.
I felt bad for both, he says.
Those are the only ones I've seen. I haven't seen any of these others.
Chris Carter says, I didn't know if I ever wanted to play football again when we were walking off that field.
He looks like he's going to cry right there.
I thought he was going to kill him. Yeah, when watching him talk on this thing, you feared for his life afterward.
Wow. You know what was reignited as well? I loved Randall Cunningham.
Oh, I couldn't stand
him. He was one of my favorite players of all time.
He had a gun.
When he was on the Eagles, not as much. I wasn't watching it as much here because I was like in college and... But when he was on the Eagles,
he threw a perfect pass.
You kind of stopped watching football as intently when you were in college, didn't
kinda,
you?
Kind
of,
yeah.
I did the same thing. I don't know. I mean, I just assumed it was because the Patriots stopped.
No, I think it's because you're doing other things, your schedule, your whatever, you're up late. You're not. I don't know.
It's a really weird thing.
Christian continues, as for the 07 Pats, it will get done, but still way too early, probably in about 10 years or so.
Oh, I say sooner than that.
Maybe.
I don't know if NFL Network will be around in 10 years.
Oh.
I said the NFL Network, not NFL.
I know.
Did you not like that motion and that cannon?
It's a
he was like
pass.
A good Rohan Davey.
He threw a perfect pass.
And then the running highlight, at this point he was a thrower. Yeah. Earlier in his career, the running highlights were phenomenal.
Look at this pass. That's perfect.
He just flipped all he ever did.
He did. He didn't even put any effort into it.
Because he was great.
Just reached back and threw the ball as far as he could.
That Thanksgiving game.
Hello, my name is Drew.
Oh, Bledsoe wasn't a bad
bomber.
Boss,
I got him on the ropes. He's all confused.
Because I just saw Moss catching another bomb. But that wasn't Drew's game. Wasn't just throwing bombs.
Look at him smiling and calling out the play.
He probably sees one-on-one with Moss or something.
Is he going? Yep, he's dropping back. Oh, he's going to the other side of the field
for a two-yard gain.
Another great throw.
Doc, have you
Brady made
the
0-7 season of this too? By the way,
the MP3
deep and short.
Okay, Mikey Vandalism hasn't chimed in a while, but he sent us an MP3, and Doc's got it ready for us, queued up. Go ahead.
What's up, guys? At PFW in Progress, this is Mikey Vandals, and coming back to PFW with quality. So my question for this week is now that Vince Wilfork has received the franchise tag, what are the chances of the Patriots going after a high-profile free agent like Julius Peppers when most of their priorities are going to be tied up for Vince Wilfork and getting a contract extension for Tom Brady and even some of the mid-contracts like Lee Bodden? And re-signing Tully Bandicane and some of these guys. So what do you think the chances would be going for Peppers with these situations coming? And also, one guy I want you guys to look at, Andy and Eric, when you guys go out to the combine, is Javi Best, the running back out of Cal. Now, I understand towards the end of the season he had a pretty hellacious injury he sustained.
Yep.
But I think he's a nice talent that we might be able to pick up in the second round. He's pretty explosive. So just keep an extra eye on him and let me know what you guys think of him. All right, guys.
That's a lot on the Patriots' plate this offseason to try
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if they'll get half of that stuff done.
I find it hard to believe Peppers is in the mix. I mean, I know we've heard and so many times, but
I think it has to be though. So
you give Vince Wilfork $35 million, you give Julius Peppers $60 million, and you give Tom Brady $140 million.
Well, they're saying
where's all those millions coming from?
They're saying they want to get a long-term deal done, but that doesn't necessarily mean a long-term deal will get done.
That's why I wouldn't do it with Wilfork.
Exactly. So I think you can get away with it if you just let him play with the tender for this year.
But even if you just say you do Brady and Peppers, you're talking about $40 million worth of checks that you'd have to write this year, I would think.
That's
a lot of cash over cap.
You know, the argument is, well, it's the uncapped year. Maybe of all the years, this is the year to do it. But
it's still cash.
In this economic
environment?
And there are restrictions.
You know, my credit is good. That doesn't mean I can go out and write a check for $50 million. I have good credit, but I don't have the cash.
Right. I don't know. Paul's just...
Eric just
Paul's
cried
silent.
A
Paul's
little
silent.
Bit.
Paul doesn't want to contribute to this one.
I just was letting you guys talk.
You guys are always complaining I talk too much?
I never complain at all.
Oh, my God.
I gave you guys the whole show.
Lying your ass off.
So I gave you guys the whole show on Thursday.
And it was a good show.
Yeah, no, I heard.
Maybe the best ever.
So, wow.
I heard.
I could hear his eyes rolling through the microphone over there.
I just wanted to do it again in case you missed it the
first
time.
All right. So Javid Best, we got to put him down on the list too, Andy. Yeah.
Good player.
He's got one of those red crosses next to his name.
Good player, serious head issues.
I mean,
that was a serious concussion.
You have to downgrade him. He's undersized. He's got already a head issue. He's going to take some hits. I'd be scared to death.
Second round guy?
I would say no.
No, is he a second round guy?
I would say no.
But where is he slated?
Oh, yeah.
Thanks.
Second, third. I agreed with your opinion of him.
My point is, if you think he's a second-round talent, then he's not on my second-round board anymore
because of the concussion.
That's a red enough flag.
Like I said, I knew what you thought of him, and I agree with you. I was wondering what, you know, they,
He is in mock drafts coming to the Patriots, some of them.
In the second round?
One of the second-round pick or something.
I love the guys that get tied to the Patriots and then you just lock onto them. You know, the Connor Barwins of the world, you know? And they become Patriots for life.
Who knew? Last year, everybody was saying he looks like Vrabel. And, well, they didn't want
Vrabel.
So.
Evidently, they thought anybody could do that job better than Vrabel.
And they thought Burgess did it.
That's why I said anybody.
Paul's favorite emailer, William Berry.
Billy
writes in, sorry, when I read LT cut by the Chargers, Ellis Hobbs is now on the Eagles. Do you think the Eagles need him? Yeah, I know. I have no class. Guess he's being rather dismissive of Lawrence Taylor. LaDainian Tomlinson.
I don't get it. What happened?
I didn't get it either.
I think he's being dismissive of LaDainian Tomlinson.
Well, that I get, but I don't get the Ellis Hobbs tie-in.
I don't really either, but I think he's just... That's why he's your favorite emailer, Paul.
Idiot!
He's quite cerebral.
He is.
I don't remember the...
Plus, Ellis Hobbs is a free agent.
I'm assuming it's in regards to that playoff game in 06. Didn't Philip Rivers call Ellis Hobbs like the sorriest cornerback in the league?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Had nothing to do with LT, though. LT was just mad that they stomped on the logo and did the lights out dance on the logo. Yeah, oh, well.
Mm-hmm. LT's a pansy.
Josh from Doesn't Say Where writes in, Eric, the guy who you will end up hating this year at the Combine is Jason Pierre-Paul. Athletic freak, but only had 6 sacks last year. Will look great in the Combine, though. You hate him because of his name?
No, I hate him. I shouldn't say I hate him, but I told Paul the other day, the guy to watch is Selvey, who was the guy to watch. Everybody was doubling him early in the year. No, they're teammates.
Yeah.
Paul was opposite Selvey. Everybody was doubling Selvey, and then all of a sudden, at some point along the way, they said, this guy who's played, this is his only year of college football, a JUCO guy out of Haiti, all of a sudden, he's a top 6. Like, he is now in the top 10 of big boards, like most talented players. How do you know what he is? Everybody says Kindle. Oh, which is he? Is he the guy that played across from Arakpo, or is he the guy that played this year? But, well, this guy, you have no idea who he is.
Derek Morgan is that guy.
I know you love him.
No, but if you want that kind of player, forget Pierre-Paul. Derek Morgan is that guy. He's the top 10 talent. Not the South Florida guy.
Guy. I saw him at one of the recent mocks, Patriots 22, Derek Morgan.
I like him. Yes, I know, Paul.
Pretty much the only name you've said all offseason. You've been in love with him.
I'm sorry. Talent catches my eye.
508-543-7482 is the phone number. Webradio at patriots.com, the email address. Our friend Cedric from Chicago, formerly of Knoxville, writes in again. Hey, what's up, guys? Man, Andy's definitely great. Be yourself, Andy. Tell dirty jokes. Don't let the guys change you.
Yeah, you guys, don't try to change me.
Yeah, we've really tried to change him. We're reeling him in over the years.
You make me laugh, Eric. You make me laugh out loud, Eric. You are my favorite, and don't worry, you'll get a taste of heaven soon enough. Paul, you are wise.
Does he
mean
pie?
I think he means pie. Yeah, cherry pie. And Fred, the show is not the same without you, so even if I think you are a psycho, I happen to appreciate you a lot. I have 2 questions. Is Peppers...
no love for Paul.
He did.
Oh, what did he say
said,
about Paul?
He said, Paul, you are wise. And then he moved on.
Fat and old. Might as well be in there.
What did he say about fat and old?
Andy was reading between the lines there.
You know, there's black and white, and there's in between.
Another example of how we've reeled Andy in over the years.
Yes, right.
Guy says, I'm wise. And he goes, you're fat and old.
Well, wise goes with old. Like wise fat. Old sage, kind of. Old is understood with wise.
Okay.
No one's young and wise.
Andy, are you going to laugh at this Republican strategist?
It's rare. That's what separates me.
Jen Dick. Or is it Dyke? Looking at her, Dyke.
Anyway, Cedric, two questions. First, is Peppers a real possibility for the Pats, or is it just another fluke?
That's what we were just discussing.
Yeah, we were. I think it's a possibility, but only if I don't see how you can give both Wilfork and Peppers long-term deals. I think you have to decide there.
Well, I agree with that, because the other one is understood. There's going to be a long-term deal with the name Thomas Brady at the bottom of it.
You would hope.
No, I know.
You would hope.
I think that there's some interest there that's genuine. I just don't think it's going to happen.
Unless you can do what I want to do and dangle Wilfork along at the $7 million on a one-year, sign Peppers, then run Wilfork out of town next year.
Second question, can you explain to me why the NFL has to have a salary cap? I mean, why can't teams spend their money at will and go get the best players, even if it creates a hole between good and bad teams?
Sort of.
That's kind of the reason.
That's why they're kind of holding on to it, yeah.
Yeah.
And they don't have to. They've decided they want to.
Because look what parity has done for the NFL. You get competitive teams that are, you know, the Super Bowl is different every year, pretty much. You have teams like the Cardinals, who were horrible franchises for so long. They have a chance within a year or two. The Baltimore Ravens were a perfect example. You're bad one year, you're a Super Bowl champion the next. That's what the NFL wants. They want to have parity so that any team's fan base can feel like their team has a chance. Yeah, and it's not working out so well for teams like the Jaguars and the Bills lately.
I do. That is why they have the salary cap. I would argue, and I have argued with Fred about this a lot, but I don't think it's worked as well as they think it has. The whole parity thing is nice to say, but the fact of the matter is there's been a lot of repeats in the NFL. Patriots won 3 out of 4. Denver won back to back. Dallas won 3 out of 4. I mean, that's all in the salary cap era.
Right.
I don't think there are a lot of other sports where that happens in. I mean, certainly happened in basketball with the Lakers, winning, 6 out of 8 or something like that. But I don't think it happens a tremendous amount of time. The Lakers won the 3 in a row.
Bulls did it.
San Antonio's won, a few times, but.
Well, they had a lot of back-to-backs with the same teams, Houston, Detroit.
Yeah, and they also have a salary cap in that league.
Well, sort of.
But they do.
Sort of. Except teams are like $25 million over the salary cap.
It's a different cap, and I would
admit it's
a stupid cap. But there haven't been as many repeats in baseball with no cap.
I think it's harder to do in baseball, personally. I think baseball is the hardest sport to really maintain a dynasty, and I just think there's so many players, so many games, so many. I just think it's hard.
I agree with you, but
I think you're seeing that the NFL is a lot more like the NBA than you like to think. If you have the best player in the NBA, you're going to be good. If you have the best quarterback in football, you're going to be good.
Kind of the point I was getting at.
So
I agree with you.
I don't think the cap is relevant. I think if the Chicago Bears had drafted Peyton Manning, I think the Chicago Bears or the Detroit Lions or the XYZ would have been in the Super Bowl and winning playoffs, that kind of stuff.
And that's why I don't think it has as much to do with the cap as maybe would have led
theoretically to it gives you the opportunity. That's the
right. No, I agree.
The basis of it.
Right. I agree. And there is you don't have that opportunity in baseball without the cap. There is a handful of 8 or 10 teams that have no hope. And
but
you
it's
don't,
also
you don't
different
have
in baseball because
you don't have that in the.
You're not going to draft
NFL.
And immediately get the dominant. I mean, every once in a while, guys like Ken Griffey Jr. is basically immediate, a superstar. You draft him, he plays. But more often than not, you're not going to get the guy with the 3rd overall pick who's going to win for a decade for you starting the year after.
I'm just finally seeing that clip that you were talking about with the old
tremendous
guy.
What is it?
Beat the piss out of the kid.
Some old guy beat.
Oh, yeah. It's a great clip if you.
Wow.
Is that Ric Flair?
Where was
it? Woo! Like him,
doesn't it?
But it wasn't Ric Flair.
Really does
no, it
look
is
like
Ric Flair. That's Ric Flair.
And he beat the kid up on the bus?
No. I don't know what they're doing here, editing things together.
Oh, boy. Last time Cedric wrote in, he said he would get us lunch or dinner when we went out to Chicago in the fall for the Patriots-Bears game. He's backtracking a little bit because...
Why?
Because
we brought up expensive restaurants.
He says, let me know exactly when the game is between the Patriots and Bears, and I'll figure something out because Ditka's is a bit expensive, guys. I remind you that I am just a student. I know excellent bars that serve beers and decent food at a decent price.
Excellent bars that serve beers.
You can hang out with us without buying dinner for us.
And he wants
you do
to
have to buy at least one beer.
Yeah. He wants to know if Doc is coming on that trip, too, because Doc does come on some of our
road
trips.
Yeah, he picks and chooses. Oh, I want to see that city. I don't do anything, so I'll just come.
Are you going to go to the Chicago game, whenever that is?
I don't know yet.
Do they have a lack of entertainment that you want to observe?
Yes.
Take notes on?
Well, they're going to have good entertainment that he's going to ignore.
Pyrotechnics that are actually
shorter than this past season.
0.3 seconds ones you blew off.
Right.
We had pyrotechnics at a game this year?
Yeah, if you blink,
slightly shorter than the game itself.
We actually have pyro at most of the late games, but you guys can't see him from where you sit.
Oh, no, I can see him.
Oh, yeah.
I just blinked.
Right.
And you standing on top of the building with an M80 and throwing it off is not pyro.
ESPN was just doing an analysis with Tim Hasselbeck Tim Tebow's throwing motion. Apparently he's going to unveil the new style at his March 17th Pro Day.
Right.
And
Somehow everybody has a video of him working on it now, I thought was weird. Like, you just put it out there, some video of him with, I don't know if it's Florida teammates or whatever, mm-hmm. working out. Because he's holding the ball higher and this and that. No chance.
But he's not going to throw at the combine, so we won't get to see any of that. Because he's still working on the changing of the motion. So he hasn't quite perfected it yet.
And he won't have quite perfected it by March
17th. But 2.5 weeks after the combine, he supposedly will have it corrected. And that's going to determine his draft status.
Third day pick.
We'll see.
Which is the third day? Is that round four?
That's
that. Third day pick. I like that.
Is that what it is, though? Four,
yeah,
one, two, and three,
two and three,
and then four on?
And then four on, I believe.
Yeah, third day pick.
Yeah. All right. I think that's what we argued. No, you argued he wasn't going to get picked by the Patriots at all in our debate Friday.
I don't know what I argued.
Good one this past week, though.
Of course. Free agent priorities. Paul and I argued Lee Bodden, Tully Banta-Kane. Other mm-hmm. options were Kevin Falk. Stephen Neal
and Benjamin Watson.
Benjamin Watson. Mm-hmm. Benjamin Watson not getting a lot of votes outside of the Watson family.
I'm not even sure they voted for him. I think he wants out of here in the worst way.
Well, I'd be happy to get him out of here. I'd throw him the plane ticket, but he'd drop it.
Oh! Todd in Nova Scotia. Talking little Olympics for you, Paulie.
That's Olympics, not limp.
Living in Canada, I get the America coverage and the Canadian coverage. And that's even MSNBC, I would assume, Andy, so don't get upset. And both countries tailor...
He just doesn't know where it is.
Both countries tailor their primetime coverage, NBC and CTV, to sports where each country has a chance to win medals. If that hockey game had been for a medal, it would have been on NBC.
Then it would just be stupid if it wasn't on NBC.
The medal round will be on TV, and then that will get the ratings that Andy, I think, is talking about.
And now here's where Todd's nationalism comes in. He says, instead of a fluky American win.
Well, it was kind of a fluky
win. It was,
win.
Yeah. Well, good to hear Paul. Paul's son is okay. Fred made it sound like he was going to the Everett Kindergarten for the Criminally Insane.
Right. Which is what
the hell
I
was that?
Law and Order. Law and Order?
Oh. Yeah.
That's what I was informed of by our illustrious soundboard guy over there. You see this this growing pains actor who's been missing since last week? Mike Siever's friend, Boner, on Growing Pains.
He's been missing since Growing Pains ended.
Yeah, that's a good point. He's been missing since the mid-80s.
Right. I mean, whenever that ended.
Oh, my God.
Is Todd in Nova Scotia?
Yes.
Yes.
Funny story. I went to see Great Grammy Hart this weekend.
Is she from Nova Scotia?
No. But she said, hey, there's Jackson. What if she was talking? I got a new place up in Nova Scotia. It's got two pools for the kids.
Oh, God.
That's not far from your house, right?
What?
Ooh, she's flat out lost it.
But she knows Jackson.
Oh, like, yeah. She knows us.
That's so funny.
And then she broke into, and my mother, quite a gossip, you know. We used to do all the wakes, and you'd go to the wakes, and she'd be talking about the people that had died. The priest even told me once, and she's going on this thing, and it was hilarious.
Oh,
the funniest part, though, is she talks to Jackson, and Jackson goes, what'd you say?
Oh, he's giving her tood?
Not really, but he loves her for some reason. Yeah, because she starts babbling about who knows what. But yeah, the only thing she knows is, like, us. And, like, she doesn't even know my mother. For some reason, she knows us better, like me, my kids, everything.
Well, my grandma, at the end, from my grandmother, she didn't know anybody. I remember we were at my cousin's wedding, and she's, like, walking, and my father was, like, going behind her, and... She kept turning around saying, why is this guy following me? It was so sad. I mean, it really was.
Yeah.
Why is this guy following me? It's her son.
We had a neighbor that used to come in my house, an old lady who lived down the street. Like, I'd be out mowing the lawn. She'd be sitting at the kitchen table. And I'd be like,
it's a terrible disease.
What the?
It's a terrible way to go.
Todd continues, back to football. Everyone is just assuming Kevin Falk will be back, but do you think some team might look at Falk's experience and his locker room leadership and how he performed in that playoff loss and offer him a contract that the Patriots are unwilling to pay?
I mean, I guess theoretically
possible,
you could
but I
say
doubt
Chiefs
it.
Or Broncos.
I just can't
guys.
Imagine someone's going to give him the money.
Team. Yeah. Just to do the Willie McGinnis thing like Romeo tried to do in Cleveland mm-hmm. for 2 years.
Yeah, I just can't imagine someone's going to give him
the,
enough
well,
money, the money to lure you away.
I mean, I don't think it would have to be. I think the Patriots might just say, you know, you're a $2.4 million player for us at this point in your career, and if the Broncos say he's 2.8.
I don't think he would leave. That's my point. Maybe. It would have to be like four for me, to me, for him to say, oh, okay, I can't pass that up. I don't want to leave, but that's a lot of money.
What about the Saints?
What do they need him for?
They cut Reggie Bush.
Well, we are assuming they're going to cut him.
I'm just saying, under my scenario, if you can assume that they're going to not lock him out, but lock him out, I think I can assume they're going to cut Reggie Bush.
Well, Reggie Bush is $8 million, something like that. Mm. I'd rather have Reggie Bush.
Well, I would too.
I mean, at $8 million, even if I had to do that.
I don't know about that.
He's not worth $8 million, but I'd rather overpay for him
Falk
than overpay for
Bush
Kevin Falk. Not two. You said four.
Oh, you said four. I said 2.4 or something. It's but, tough when your hypotheticals clash.
when hypotheticals clash.
All right, sticking in Canada, Hamza from Toronto. Hey,
Hamza?
Guys.
Hey, yeah. Brian Westbrook got released, huh?
Really?
Oh,
I'd take him.
According to Mike Lombardi.
Cue the SPFWs.
Thank God I already posted. And Brian Westbrook are both available.
I think Westbrook got a lot more left.
Yeah,
if
absolutely.
Play. If he can step on the field,
if he can play,
play
he can still play.
Yeah, but he's Javid Best.
that's a very Andy.
I love my new Andyisms. If he can
if
play,
he can play,
and
they
he
work,
can still play.
Hamza,
Hamza,
Luft.
Oh, Hamza. Very well done, Paul.
The Lufthansa.
Hey guys, looking forward to the combine. I know I am. I know Andy's not.
Well, you don't have to go. Of course
right.
You are. You can watch it from your house.
As for the news of the week,
in all seriousness.
What? You'd crap yourself on day two.
My utter refusal to go aside here, how could you possibly, as a fan, be looking forward to the combine?
Oh.
As Florio aptly calls it, the underwear Olympics, how could you be looking forward to that?
Because it's something NFL
that
related.
Be
that's why.
It's NFL related.
But you
related.
Can't get anything from
it's kinda
it.
Kind of fun.
They, but people
you the just don't really like football.
No, the draft to me is kind
of
fun.
But this
when
is part
draft,
of the draft
day, but it's not
watching
really.
Guys
it's
run
not.
Around. You're seeing call it, you interact competition.
Now, if you
drills,
could be. If you, know, you as a fan throws. Could somehow, and I know it's impossible, but we're sticking with our Never Neverland theory, if you could somehow be privy to the interview process, that I would find quite interesting.
Sure.
To be able to learn all these guys up close and what teams would ask them. And
but this
how,
goes,
that interaction to me, I watching them run the 40
but Paul,
is not interesting
this
in,
goes,
in the least.
This goes back to what we talked about before, where the coverage of the players and their workouts makes people think that the combine actually matters so much because a guy who does nothing on tape but comes to the combine and lifts a little bit all of a sudden becomes a first-round pick. And fans want to see that because they want to know.
It doesn't happen, I don't think, as often as people think.
Well, but I think guys get overrated by going to the combine.
They do, but I don't think they become high picks.
I'm
often,
using an absurd example.
As often as people think.
Paul's right. It doesn't happen as often. Like,
no,
but
it has happened.
For a guy who
it
should have happened for is Gary Guyton.
Right.
He was a good college football player who blew up at the combine,
that's
and
a great,
it didn't work.
It's a great example.
He
I mean,
should have been a combine workout warrior when you combine it with his tape.
But,
and
but
he
the
still
perception.
Was
there are like people think that Benjamin Watson was a combine freak. Benjamin Watson was a first-round pick.
Right.
That's what they thought. He was a late first, early second-round pick that year, and that's where he went. Like
yeah.
Mike Mamula was a guy who completely shot way up the draft charts based on a ridiculous performance at the combine.
But you also can't confuse combine with just measurables. There's plenty of guys that get rated as measurables
right.
because they are 6'4", run a 4.6", whatever the measurables for that position are, even though you go back to college and say, wow,
he was
two
underwhelming.
Sacks, he wasn't
yeah.
that good, whatever. There's plenty of guys that the measurables beforehand make them something maybe they shouldn't be.
Kind
of
what you and I did with Golston.
Right, and the Jets.
But I think that's what people
well,
tune
yeah,
in for.
Making fun of us.
Is,
no, I know, but I like to align us with real people.
They want to see whatever movement there is, whether a guy goes up or down or...
Did it move?
A child.
He wants to see whatever real movement there is, whether a guy goes up or down.
Here's your thing.
Oh, yeah, the Bengals. There you go.
Oh, yeah, try to change the subject now. If you're talking about guys going up and down and you want to see their movement in the underwear Olympics.
Oh, my God.
That's why they don't let reporters in.
Let's just finish this damn email watching. And get out of here.
Okay.
Man, the show's over. Let's do another
yes.
hour. Come on.
I love
is.
This show.
I, for one, Hamza continues, not very optimistic about the Wilfork tag. Despite the statements, I believe we have yet to retain a single player long-term that was franchised this decade. Samuel, Vinatieri the second time, Castle, Jones. Doesn't look good to me.
The first time for Adam would be the only one. He signed a three-year deal.
Right.
Who's Jones?
Tabucky.
Oh, I totally forgot about him. I was like, Pac-Man?
I do, however, agree somewhat with Big Head. I think nose tackles are overvalued given today's NFL. Paying Haynesworth $100 million is one example.
I don't think I'm close enough with Hamza for him to be calling me Big Head.
Plus,
who the hell is Hamza?
Plus, Haynesworth's not a nose tackle.
No, he's not.
I've never heard of Hamza before today.
Look, he's all upset. The guy called him Big Head.
He's emailed him before.
He sounds like a that black Christmas holiday.
Fred probably calls him by a totally different
name. That's
true.
Is there another option there?
Fred probably calls him Joe.
Right.
No, there isn't.
What's his email address?
We're not going to give that out.
Hamza at Canada.org.
In a passing league, I think the Patriots are better off spending money re-signing O-linemen and acquiring pass rushers, not to mention Brady and Moss's contracts. Speaking of Moss, I may be a very biased as a big fan of his, but what exactly does he need to make being re-signed more likely? 47 touchdowns in 48 games as a Patriot, a record-setting pace, not to mention helping Welker catch at least a good chunk of those 300-plus passes seems to be enough of... To me, my question for you guys is, what's the likelihood that he gets re-signed next offseason, and for how much are the Patriots likely to even be interested? Let's not piss Brady off by getting rid of all his receivers like they did in 2006. Thanks, guys. Great show.
Paul, I came up with one of your little hypotheticals that really can't
happen. They're fun, aren't they?
Because I don't believe they're allowed under the CBA. But wouldn't you take the idea of signing Moss next year to, say, a $5 million one-year deal? But he gets the option of a second year with a higher number. So you're giving the player the option. Even if he kind of stinks, he's going to make his money over a two-year span because you're giving him the extra year where he can kind of puff up the money on the back end, whereas you're getting a cheaper guy early. Do some sort of option scenario where the team gets the first option, the player gets the second, the team's money is lower, the player's is higher.
But then you have to give him the money in the second year anyway?
Right.
So
right now you sign him to the extension.
Yeah, what's in it? Yeah,
you get Moss next year. Because unless he falls off the map, a 1,000-yard receiver with 10 touchdowns is still valuable. So you don't want to pay him $9 million.
I get that.
So you sign him for something that's $4 or $5 million next year.
Well, what are you going to give him the second year?
He gets the option of whatever it is, a bigger money, closer to what he was making the year before. So he gets the payment on the back end. Otherwise, you let him go and he goes somewhere else and burns
you. I understand what you're saying, but if that option that is significant money...
$9 million. I'm not saying like break the bank. I'm saying basically what he's making
so
now.
So he's going to take that, and it's going to cost you that money anyway. So why wouldn't
unless
you just give
it to retires.
Him?
Unless he just retires. Maybe he'll just retire. Maybe he's a man of honor.
He's just going to walk away from guaranteed money.
Could be a man of honor. Well, and you're saving some money.
No, that's not
because you're paying him $14 million over 2 years instead of $18 million. Because you could still cut him, but you know it's somehow it's a bonus or whatever. He picks up that option, and you have dead money for him. Just trying to be a little creative.
Okay, you could cut him.
Oh, yeah. He can't make you keep him. He can only make you pay him whatever the money is.
Okay, so that's what's in it for the team. You might only have to pay him $5 million plus whatever bonus money, cap acceleration.
Right.
I don't think he would do that.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Even knowing he can get the second year
money.
But
he can't. He can't know that. He can't know he can get it.
Why?
Because they could just cut him, you said.
No. It's a roster bonus. He's getting his money. He's going to get the bulk of that $9 million. It's something where if he picks it up by March 5th, it's his, and you can still cut him and void some salary or something, but he gets his.
I suppose.
I don't think it's legal under the CBA.
I don't think I don't know.
I don't think you're allowed to have options in the CBA. Player options and team options. This isn't baseball.
Paul, you going to be here on Thursday?
That's affirmative.
You and Freddie, huh?
Yeah.
Ooh, that's gonna be a
unless
show.
Freddie's got a meeting.
Well, you're right. It's always a bad show with only two guys. First of all, I can't even fight with Fred because if it's just the two of us, that's no fun.
But Thursday is the day before Fred's little coaching clinic thing starts, right?
Oh, that's right. This could be a solo
show.
So
this
show.
Could be a Paul solo show is what I'm getting at here.
If it is, you want me to get you a guest?
No.
Well, it depends who the guest is. Is it Megyn Kelly?
She's busy at this time of day.
I was going to at least offer you John Rook.
I took a shot at John Rook yesterday.
Why?
He was mad at me.
Another Patriots first down?
Because it was the 30th anniversary of that, the
big
Russian,
hockey game?
The Russian game.
Yeah.
And he said, do you remember where you were? I was getting ready to broadcast I was at Hoffman's Pavilion at Houston getting ready to call Texas-Houston women's basketball. And I go, wow, John, you were already a professional broadcaster. I was 12. He didn't like that.
Oh, well.
I was one.
Tune in on Thursday. It may or may not be a Paul Solo show. Andy and I will be at
Fred'll
the
be
Combine in Indianapolis. We might call into the show.
You might.
Depending on how much free time we have, which is very little at the Combine.
These guys wouldn't know.
Paul would know because he never goes. But
he covers the home
front. Is it you and I next year, or is it you and I next year?
It's you and you.
I don't know. None of us might even be here.
So what a worse this year, too, because they play tonight. Northeastern plays tonight. Wouldn't even have had to miss it.
Pull the plug on this now.
So Paul will see you noon Thursday.